Steve, thank you. Hi, everybody. It's us, your friends. It's Bill and Wendy. Nice to see you or hear you or something. We're at 312-981-7200. If you want to jump in, please do. You can text us or you can call us, whatever you're comfortable with. You're decked out in all your Blackhawks regalia.
You know, it's funny because when I wear my Duncan Keith Hawks sweater, even though it's a jersey,
That's all right.
Everyone goes, oh, you going to the game? No.
You don't have to go to the game to show some Blackhawks pride.
Just showing my love.
The captain is back tonight.
I want to know why he was, what, did he have diarrhea?
There, no, said no it. One's saying.
That's why he had diarrhea. No one wants to talk about diarrhea.
They're very, in hockey especially, they're very nonspecific when something is wrong with a player. Like they'll say an upper body injury or a lower body injury.
Right,
but
so this
would
be, would this be a middle body?
A behind body injury.
Inner body.
Inter body injury, temporarily.
Well, they say that so the opposing team, the team they're versing, as
right.
my kids still say,
right.
You know, if you know it's the right knee, then they go to whack you on your right
yes.
knee.
Yes, yes. You'll also hear in sports that a player might miss a game with flu-like symptoms. They won't say the flu, but they will say flu-like symptoms, just to leave a little bit of a question mark as to exactly whether or not it is the flu. Like, if I was sick, I'd go, I have the flu. I can't come in. I have the flu. I would never call you and say, you're on your own. I got flu-like symptoms. Because that waters it down a bit, doesn't it?
Well, the big-time flu will take you out for 2 weeks, so
yeah.
That's why they're flu-like symptoms. It may not be the flu, but you feel crappy.
Right. But more
Which
times
brings
than
us
not,
back to the diarrhea,
right, I guess. But more times than not, when describing a sports player's injury, especially in hockey, they're very, very nonspecific. In other sports, they'll tell you down
I
to
know.
The smallest detail what's wrong and how they're expected to recover in 4 to 6 weeks. They'll tell you everything. But in hockey, it's very very secretive sport.
And the baseball players are ridiculed for a hangnail.
I know,
right?
I know.
Who's been out of a game because of a hangnail?
Oh, it's happened.
Are you kidding?
One time.
Bite it off and get back to business.
Do you remember the Cubs had an outfielder named Jose Cardenal?
Yeah.
Do you remember him? He missed a game once because he said he could not open his eye, that his eye was somehow epoxied shut.
Pink eye, conjunctivitis.
Except that if you have one of those, like for the next few days, there's evidence that you had that. Because he showed up the next day and his eye was fine. There was nothing wrong with his eye at all. But he, on
Boy,
that day.
The Sandman delivered it at his house that night.
I just remember the headline in one of the papers, the Sun-Times or the Tribune, said, Jose, can you see?
Oh, is that funny?
The funniest sports headline I've ever seen, ever.
I'd love to go back and watch a Jose Cardenal game. What, where he hide the ball in the vines.
Yes.
I can't get over that headline, how funny that is. What
that
happened
beautiful?
To funny headlines?
I don't know. Well, we had one the other day with Cruise Control.
Not our paper.
That was from the Sun-Times. They went with Cruise Control. Isn't Jose Cardenal, Steve, one of the guys in baseball history that played all 9 positions in a game? Didn't he do that once, or am I imagining it?
It sounds familiar. I don't remember it for sure.
Every once in a while, a guy will do that, where for each inning, he'll just move over one slot. They'll let him pitch an inning, catch an inning, first base, second base. I thought Jose Cardenal was one of those guys, but
that was
maybe
a big deal for the Cubs in the 70s because they were in the thick of it each
yes.
season.
Yes, a perennial contender.
Right.
How valuable would you be if you could play every position, though?
It would be nice, wouldn't
You'd
it?
You want that guy on your team.
Yeah, that's versatility at its best.
We should hire him here at WGN in case someone falls sick,
to fill in
flu-like
for...
symptoms, or
right.
can't open their eye. Jose Cardenal could fit in. Sit in.
I wonder what happened. You know, when he played here, he was so incredibly popular, and then he just kind of fell. He's one of those guys that was so popular and then just fell off the face of the earth. I don't know what became of him.
He coached quite a bit.
Oh, did he?
I think maybe for the Phillies or.
Oh, you know what? That sounds right, because I know he played for a bunch of teams. Although I don't think the Cardinals, ironically, because his name was Cardinal. You'd think St. Louis would want a piece of that, but I don't think they did.
He started in 1963.
Wow.
With the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah. And he's one of those guys, if you look at your classic baseball afros, if they had an Afro Hall of Fame
Big
for
time.
Baseball,
yeah.
he would definitely have an exhibit. He had an incredible amount of
How
hair.
How did he keep that hat on?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It was so much fun to watch.
And you talk about hat head. I mean, a lot of times guys take off their hat and their hair's a little messy, but that is like indented.
See, if you're him, you don't call in and say, I can't open my eye. You'd say, I'm having, you know, you've seen my hair, right? I'm having the worst hair day you could ever imagine. I cannot come into the ballpark
today.
Well,
then they say, put the cap back on.
I can't get my hair through the door. Was it Bake McBride? Was he in
Yes, Ireland? With the yeah. Cardinals.
Think of that nickname.
The best one ever, Oscar Gamble. You could see his hair from space. Like when they would do Apollo missions, they'd go, I can see Oscar Gamble right there. He's right over there.
He's practicing.
Right.
Hope he missed.
Playing catch. But that was like one of the coolest aspects of baseball back then for some reason.
It was just the time, man. You had Artis Gilmore on the Bulls.
Yeah.
So you had a pretty good fro.
That was an excellent afro. Excellent.
And they've come back. There's this kid in my son's high school in choir with him.
Yeah.
He has got the most kick-ass hair.
Does he?
And he just lets it go big and wild. And I love it.
It's not fair to the guy defending it. You can't see, like if he's in front of you, you can't see what's going on. You go, he might have the ball, he might not have the ball. I don't know. I can't tell.
And, I mean, look at the change in football where everybody has the long hair and the dreads hanging
right.
out of the helmet.
Right.
Now, I brought this up before, and I think that if you're tackling them or you can pull their hair, can't
you? Are you allowed to? It's part of the body. Maybe.
Yeah, I would think so.
Maybe.
That's why you should put it up in a little man bun like Lennox Lewis, the boxer, used to do.
Yeah.
He had the dreads, and he would put it. He started the man bun,
yeah.
I'll have you all know.
I think he might be the guy.
And guys...
Doesn't look good?
I don't know. I have mixed emotions on the man bun. It looks good on some people.
Joakim Noah pulls it off. Doesn't he? I think his looks nice.
You
You're
do?
Not sure? Yeah, I think that works
you
for him.
Do you do hair tips with him, too?
No, just Jimmy Butler.
I'm with you on that, Bill.
Jimmy Butler.
When it's the whole thing, but like the shaved sides, I'm not into that.
No, that doesn't...
Yeah, that's too 80s.
Yeah.
Trust me, because I had one side shaved in the 80s.
It's too dated.
Fun with hair, but man buns, I don't know. I'm iffy. At first, I thought, I do not like this look.
And then?
But the more, there's a man bun guy who works in the building,
yeah.
and I see him almost every day, and it is totally growing on me.
Yeah.
He can sport the man bun well.
Some guys can pull it off. I'm not a fan of, you know, there's a huge trend, not just in sports, but even real life, of guys wearing beards, like ZZ Top kind of beards.
Who does that?
Every team has three or four guys that just still have that kind of shaker beard, that big giant beard.
That could actually go into making a murderer beard too, because he had that.
He's right on the verge of that.
I'm telling you, better than ZZ Top.
Yep. Musically, do you mean?
Stephen
or what do you
Avery,
mean, beard-wise?
Beard-wise, better than ZZ Top.
Yeah.
Are you caught up yet?
No, still just two episodes in.
Have you watched the X-Files from this week?
No. But, oh, we
O.J.
can talk
Simpson?
About this. Yeah, I watched that last night.
I rewatched it last night with Jim.
I have some things to tell you, all right? Hold on. We've got O.J. Simpson talking a lot more coming your way next. It's us, Bill and Wendy, 312-981-7200, if you want to jump in on WGN.
Get the connection?
Oh, yeah.
It's not Barry White.
Who is this?
Well, what are we going to talk about?
O.J. Simpson. Is it the O.J.'s? It is the
what
O.J.'s.
What they doing?
That's what they're doing.
Backstabbers.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right.
The tie-in. The musical
tie-in.
Although
very
not
well
really
done.
In the back.
No. Well, everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
So you watched The People versus O.J. Simpson on FX?
I did, and you are correct in that the acting style that they have chosen, for the most part, is... play it big. They're really playing it big. Now, I didn't realize until I watched the credits that it's Ryan Murphy who's directed this. Ryan Murphy is the guy who does American Horror Story and Glee. That's
okay.
The guy who's behind those. So he's kind of using an acting style. Because I said to you yesterday when you were saying how overacted this is, I said, you put that on the director because the director usually is the one to say, all right, let's try this. Let's do this. You're being too big. But he if you see his work, he likes it big.
And something, I rewatched it last night because Jimmy Mack had not seen it, so I had missed the very beginning, which is really kind of the best part.
Right.
The opening sequence, because I was watching it live as it happened and I missed it. I couldn't. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I rewatched that last night, and when you see that opening, it's like, this is gonna be great.
Yes.
And then. John Travolta as Robert Shapiro. And did you notice who was Robert Shapiro's wife?
The lovely Cheryl Ladd.
That took me till the second watching.
Cheryl Ladd.
Beautiful.
Yeah, she looks great.
Oh, my God, she looks great. Yeah.
Is this like a Love Boat made
it
for
TV? It is.
Because everybody who's in it, you go,
Shelley Winters
wait
was
a
in
minute.
It.
It's so star-studded, and it's such a weird... I mean, okay, so you have Vinnie Barbarino in it. You have one of Charlie's Angels in it. You have one of the guys from Friends in it. You have somebody from The Cosby Show in it. And you we're not making that up.
I know.
You know what would be a great graph would be how many of those people worked with O.J. Simpson.
Oh, I wonder.
Or knew him. I'm sure many of them knew him.
Some of them probably did.
And I forgot to mention, and I said Schwimmer's pretty good in it.
He's fine, yeah.
I mean, you know, you look at David Schwimmer, and I loved Friends. To me, it's like one of the best ensemble shows.
Yeah.
That and Seinfeld that ever hit the TV.
Right.
But I was able to put away the fact that he was Ross after a while. He did a good job.
Yeah.
And also who played Daniel Furman, who is the guy from Rescue Me.
Mark Furman.
Yes. I can never remember his name. Pasquazi or something. No, I can't remember his name. He played Sean on Rescue Me. He's been in plays. I'll find out his name.
Right. The local David Pasquazi?
No.
I know Dave.
That's not who it is. But Pasquale. It's some name like that. I'll find it.
All right.
He was very good as Mark Furman.
Yeah. And I know we'll see a lot more of him as the show develops. You only got to see him for a scene or two there. Now, I think you'll find this very fascinating. I know I did. They talked to Marcia Clark and they talked to Cato Kaelin to get their impressions of how realistic or non-realistic the first episode was. So here's what Cato Kaelin said. He said, thing number one.
Wait, first he said, what?
Huh? You want to know what? There's a scene in there. I keep wanting to say spoiler alert, but it's the O.J. Simpson trial, so I think most
Don't
people
have to.
Know what happened. Okay, they kind of focus on the fact that he had this thing for hamburgers. They keep showing him eating hamburgers, and OJ even calls him out on it. Hey, you like that hamburger? Did you tell him last night that you and I went out for hamburgers and stuff like that? So Cato Kaelin said, I was a vegetarian. I wasn't eating hamburgers or meat at that time, so I don't know why they kept pinning hamburgers on me, because I wasn't a hamburger guy. Also, in the beginning, they showed this limo driver out in front waiting patiently for O.J. Simpson.
Who's from the middle. He's on the middle. He's the next-door neighbors.
Oh, is that who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah? Cato Kaelin said, that whole time that guy was out there, I was out there talking to him, waiting for OJ to show up, but for some reason they opted to not play it that way. But in reality, they didn't wake me up with the news. I was out there with this limo driver, but they didn't have it that way. And then this is really important. Marcia Clark talks about all the, discrepancies between reality and what they show in the miniseries. And she said they really missed one of the most important aspects early on. When they call O.J. Simpson and he's in Chicago and they call to tell him that Nicole has died, they said in real life, like on the show, they did this version where it's just kind of this long back and forth between the two. And there's twists and turns.
Not
but,
even that long.
No, not real long.
It was a pretty quick call when they called him to tell him.
But she said the most important thing is the words they used were Nicole Simpson has died. And he said, who killed her? He didn't, like, you. If somebody called you with that news, you'd think, oh, probably a car accident, or she said maybe a drug overdose. There's, like, a bunch of ways somebody can die, because the words they used were, Nicole Simpson has died, and he just went, who killed her? Like that. Like, there's no other way she could have died other than somebody killing her.
He's so guilty, it's not even funny. I'm sorry.
Don't ruin it. People haven't seen the whole show yet.
But the way they depicted it was they called OJ and said, I thought that, and I saw it twice, they said, your wife has been killed. And then he said, is she dead?
Yeah, that's right.
That's Which, weird.
Once somebody's killed, they're almost always dead. That's that you get that as part of the package of being killed, is that you're dead.
But what would be the first question? Your first question would be, you're kidding,
How
right?
Did she well, yeah, I always assume. But I would say,
how?
Oh, no, how did this happen? What happened there?
Yeah.
Didn't seem interested in that. Right.
And do you see what I mean about the Cuba Gooding Jr.? He's just yelling. I do imagine that O.J. seemed like a very big hothead, so I could see that. But O.J. had this really low voice.
And Cuba Gooding Jr. has a very
screechy,
soft, raspy voice.
Yes.
And maybe he's not an actor, because I was thinking about other things I've seen him in. He's not much on changing his voice much, but you would think in a case like this where everyone knows what OJ sounds like, maybe more of an effort could have been made.
Because when he's hot-headed and blowing a gasket, as right. I like to call it,
right.
That's when it went so over the top.
Right.
And I bet OJ did have those blow-ups.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
But did you like the closet with Johnny Cochran?
He's got a closet that's bigger than most people's houses, and suits just kind of, they're on a carousel where if
like
you don't
at a
like
dry
what
cleaner.
You see, yeah, you press a button and another color comes by.
But the funniest part to me was, I want to wear something that makes a statement.
Right.
And his wife says, what about the lime green suit? And he goes, oh, I like the lime green. And then he goes, wait a minute. Yeah. I got to go to Neverland later. MJ doesn't like green. It scares him.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part.
That was very funny. And they're going out of their way to reference the Kardashian girls for reasons that are unnecessary. They weren't really paramount to the O.J. Simpson case. They're so ancillary to the case, but they went out of their way to mention that they were at the funeral and stuff like that.
I think we see, when we talked to that ABC News correspondent, I think he said that we find out more about
the
Kardashian
girls. They show up again.
Girls,
I know they do.
But we wouldn't had they not been superheroes
right.
now.
Well, but they're also a real tune-in, right? I mean,
I guess so. Yeah, I imagine. And this thing I read yesterday about what's real and what wasn't real, they said that in reality, the girls were at OJ's, because they showed him yesterday at the funeral, and they said they really were there.
They were really close.
But it was weird that they even made mention of that, because there were tons and tons of important people at his funeral, at her funeral, but they only kind of singled out the Kardashian girls.
You understand that most of the people under 30 watching this are watching it because, that's the guy that
right.
Kardashian girls
knew. No, that's
knew.
True. That's very true.
It's a sick world. And John Travolta, I'm telling you, he was a good actor, but I know Robert Shapiro had some crazy ways about him, but this was way more Liberace-like.
He played him flamboyantly.
Yes.
He really did.
Okay, so it wasn't just me?
No, but I do remember times. I remember a couple of interviews with him, and I remember thinking to myself, he really is more of a showman than anything, so maybe that's fairly accurate.
Yeah.
He wasn't your typical attorney. You know, usually you think of an attorney, you think of somebody a lot grittier and more down to earth, but he had a kind of a flair to him.
Yeah, I got to check some YouTube videos of Robert Shapiro, because that's when I asked you yesterday, because this was like a young Liberace. It really was.
I could see that.
But all in all, I'm sucked in and I'm going to watch it all.
Have we seen Have we seen Barry Scheck yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
They did not show him yet. No, that's coming.
All right. I have another question, but I can ask you off the air.
All right. All right.
Because we're running late here.
Oh, all right. News is next. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Jump in anytime you like. 312-981-7200. Steve, there's a story or two from the news that we wanted to discuss with you. Number one was your top story, and that's about, would this classify as a merger with the Tribune and the Sun-Times?
No, it wouldn't.
What would this be?
It just happens to be the guy who is the principal owner of the Sun-Times purchased the largest share of Tribune Publishing stock. Now, there are reports out there that this certainly brings these two newspapers closer to maybe an eventual marriage of some sort. I mean, so you've got, you know, who was the biggest player at the Sun-Times.
Yeah.
Rowing his boat up the river a little bit and is now the biggest shareholder at Tribune Publishing.
That's weird.
Well, I mean, yeah, so maybe that will sort of form the nucleus for an eventual combination of forces. I don't know.
Or elimination of one.
That's what I'm thinking is the only reason I think you would do something like this strategically is to merge them into one paper, correct? Can you think of another scenario? Why would you want... You wouldn't want to compete against yourself.
Why? Because then you win both ways.
Well, you could compliment yourself. I mean,
every day. Can't sit around waiting for others to do it.
Sometimes the show is late because Wendy is still complimenting herself in the office. We have to wait an extra minute or two.
For everyone who's not kept up on their scorecard now, though, Tribune Publishing is not affiliated with WGN Radio.
Right.
We're separate companies.
Right.
Have a like history, but it's not the same company.
Come on, Bill. There is a camera crew out in front of the Tribune Tower because of this breaking
news.
Several
camera crews. Channel 2 is out there and Channel 5 is out there.
All right. And Bill
that
wanted...
adds up to 7. They'll be there soon.
Right. If math serves us right.
And 7 would... minus CBS.
Is 5.
NBC, are they already there?
Yeah, they're there.
Oh, sorry. Bill wanted to walk out and like kind of, you know, cover his face like no comment, no comment.
You know what they call it? Do they call it the duck walk? Is that what they call
no,
it?
They, when... well, they used to
no,
call
Chuck
it.
Berry did the duck walk.
Oh.
They used to call, the cops used to do a thing they called the perp walk.
When oh, right.
They would, you know, that's a bygone era.
Right.
When there was a suspect in a case.
Right.
Or maybe even charged, and they would just kind of walk them in front of the cameras so the TV crews would get video of the suspect.
And they'd always hold newspapers or something. Right. And go hold the Sun-Times in front of your face.
Now that's not a bad idea.
That's a funny idea, Bill.
I wanted to walk out of the building looking like I'm involved in some scandal, which will happen eventually.
You're so it would clever, be Bill. I'm so glad you came up with that idea.
But we have a street mic. Why don't you go out there and just, they're just sitting there waiting. Why don't you go out with a microphone and just say, yeah, I brought my own mic. I'm ready. Do you have any questions? I just want to see their reaction. Wouldn't that be great?
Just walk out there and say, okay, Mr. Left will make a brief statement.
I can preface it. Come on.
All right. So how will you guys be able to hear
that,
though?
You have the street mic. We'll turn it on. Let's check and see if that works, Kevin. It should be up on that shelf. Can you see if you can find it? And I got a little button here. It would be so funny. You could bring them ponchkis.
I don't want to bribe them. I want it to be honest. So then I will field any questions they might have for me about this takeover. All right.
If anything, they'll just laugh.
I'm prepared to make a brief statement.
Yes. Come on, please.
All right. I'll do that for you. All right.
We'll do it. Oh, my God.
But it all depends on the mic working.
So can they not hear you now? Where are they?
No, they're
out in front of the building.
Okay.
They've got camera crews set up in front of the building.
All right, hang
on. So who, before I do this, though...
Kevin, talk.
Who are they waiting for to talk to? Do we know, Steve?
Well, I don't know if there's someone's going to come out. Are they set up, like, for a news conference?
No, just the camera people are out there. Kevin, talk into that mic. Does it work?
They're probably all going to do stand-ups for their 11 o'clock
Hello?
Newscast.
Right.
All right, see, listen, he's got the mic.
You're golden, Bill.
Oh, go out there.
Go out there? All right.
Come on. Okay. Oh, my God, this is so funny. Stay tuned, listeners. Should we take a quick break?
But how will I be able to hear you? I don't know how I'll be able to hear you, though.
Sometimes you just got to wing it.
Yeah. Right. You can try and hear out. You don't have to hear me. Just we're going to eavesdrop on you. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
All right.
Bill's going to walk out with a wireless mic, and you're just going to
field their questions
and
about
just come
this
out and go,
merger.
Hey, I'm ready. I have my own microphone. I'll take your first question.
All right. And Steve,
really?
Just for I'll do that. For credential reasons, I'm going to tell them I'm with Tribune Publishing or with whom?
Tribune Publishing.
Tribune Publishing. All right.
A brief statement on behalf of Mr. Farrow.
All right. I can do that for you.
All right. Stay tuned. How about this? It's Bill Left live in action coming up next, 720 WGN. All right. It's Bill and Wendy here on 720 WGN, and we are not connected to the Tribune publication.
No.
And there are a group of photographers from various news stations out in front of the building. Bill, why don't you walk out there with that mic?
I am, and I don't want you to think I'm chickening out, but I just want to make a quick analogy, if I could, before I go out there. 24 hours ago, you and I were ripping this kid that they're calling Sticker Boy for messing up a major news event. We were saying how irresponsible it was. And now 24 hours later, I'm about to be a local version of Sticker Boy, aren't I?
Well,
no,
only if you go on live TV and pretend you're legit. You're not going to do that.
First of all, the camera people are not goofs. They're probably not going to even turn the camera on.
All right.
What channel? There might be a couple goofs
out
there.
5. See, they're walking away. You got to do this now before someone of great importance. Oh, now he's coming out another way. Hurry up.
Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. I'll go out.
Oh, Bill is going to be Sticker Boy now. We are going to turn his mic. Your mic is on. Did you turn it? No, turn it on. Turn it on.
It's on.
Now it's on.
All right. I'll go out in front of the building.
All right, here goes. Bill left.
There's no chance I could be arrested for this, though, right?
I don't know.
Got to get an attorney.
Okay.
Rich Lenkoff's coming in later.
Hold on a second.
He's going out in front of the building.
All right. I'll see if they'll... Now they're looking at the building. Now they're looking... Can you still hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. They're panicking.
All right.
I'll go up. Hold on.
They're putting the cameras on him walking out the door. The revolving doors of the Tribune Tower. He's standing out in front. And his mic does not work.
You can hear me, right?
Now I can.
Hi. I was told you guys wanted to get a statement from me.
Make a statement to you?
Yeah, no, you needed a statement from me about this merger.
It's not
is that correct?
A merger.
You guys needed a statement about the merger, the Tribune and the Sun-Times and Archie Comics all merging together. All right, I'll give you a statement. Is this HD TV or is this regular TV? Because
they're filming him.
This is ready?
All right. Channel 2 News. And Channel 5 News. And
this
Bill
is, this is a merger we've been looking forward to for a long time. We think it's going to benefit everybody. The Tribune, the Sun-Times, America, Bolivia. I'll use... I'm holding up Channel 5's mic and Channel 2's
they
mic.
They are taping you. Sticker Boy is alive in Chicago.
So this is something that's been 10 years in the making, and we're proud to announce that it may or may not happen. We've been working together with the people of Bolivia to make sure that our papers thrive in the new generation, and we're happy to be part of this. So thanks very much for covering this major story.
He has three microphones.
Do you know why we are really here?
Yeah, why are you here really? No, because of this, because of the papers getting together?
We're not here for the merger.
Oh, they're not here for the merger.
Oh, the state's attorney's candidates. We're also... Oh, they're doing a debate up there? Well, I'm also for that.
You have a statement to make for them?
But, all right, we'll... Okay, we'll continue the job you're doing. You're both doing a great job. Thanks very much. Go America. 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 Okay.
America.
Okay. Yeah, I think they bought it, Wendy. I think they really believed it was legit.
All right. First of all, God love them. They are adorable. And they actually gave you mic flags.
They did.
Channel 2 and Channel 5.
Yeah.
And they talked to you. So
yes.
I don't know if they were just humoring like a dumb little boy who came out in front. I don't know, but they were very nice to you.
They were way nicer to me than the people I work with, which is disconcerting.
I'm sorry, did I say they were there for Farrell? I meant there's a state's attorney's debate in the building.
Oh, is that what it was?
Right. Well, now you tell them. I'm sorry, Bill, but that was great fun for us. How was it for you?
It was amazing. I think that'll be my career is whenever there's a major story, I'll just go and give a statement.
I mentioned Bolivia.
I can't believe they picked it up live. I'm watching you on Bolivian TV right now.
Bolivian Channel 6?
Right. That's Oblivion TV. Sorry.
That's fine.
All right. Best part, and I'm sorry, we will get audio of that. Your mic was breaking up a little, but the best part was the merger of the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Sun-Times, and Archie Comics.
Yeah. Well, that's been rumored for years, and I just wanted to, you know, lay those rumors to rest and let them know it's going to
be reality. I can't
believe
you got handed microphones by these people,
They
too.
Both gave me equipment. I would never, if you saw a guy like me coming at you, would you hand me any equipment? I would never do that.
No, I would call the authorities or look for your mother.
Right. Because
you look like a lost boy.
Right. No, they just, both of them, I don't know if you could see it, as I was approaching them, they had that look like, oh, here it comes. Here it comes.
Well,
you know,
they played along. I think they actually could hear us because I got a couple thumbs up and stuff.
Oh.
So I think they were prepared and ready for the antics of one Bill Left, the new Sticker Boy.
I just got a text from Sticker Boy saying he's embarrassed by my actions, that I went too far.
You're now referred to as Mike Flag Boy because you had three microphones in your hand. Wireless.
Wendy, I just broke a Chicago record. I don't remember ever a time where a guy held up three different flags at one time, mic flags.
No.
That was amazing.
You always see in the sports things all the mic flags with everyone else holding them. But if they're at a podium, they're held by the stand. You have a Chicago record of holding the most mic flags.
That was an achievement.
That's
from
your tennis grip. I think
that's what it is. That's exactly what helped me.
Okay, can I find out the real story now? And God love her for saying, yeah, we're not here to cover the merger.
Right, I know. Well, that was a kind way of saying you couldn't be more wrong. You're wasting our time, but thank you for playing. That was her kind way of easing into that.
$10 says they didn't even hit record on the cameras.
They were making noises like the cameras. They were making that noise while I was talking.
Cameras are much more quiet now than that.
Did you hear the ding to change the slide?
Yes. Yes. From the overhead projector club in school. Yeah.
All right.
I heard that.
So, Steve, why are they out there? Because there's some kind of press conference going on here at Tribune Tower?
Well, apparently, the Tribune editorial board, they bring in candidates from time to time. It sounds like probably they've got the state's attorney candidates in today for a debate.
Yeah, because remember Donald Trump came in this building and Eric Zorn and also Kristen McQuarrie were saying, you know, they talked to him and he was charming and they weren't even really throwing big questions at him because they didn't really think he was going to be running this through the full course.
No one had any idea what it would become. Well, I'd love to keep talking, but I got a date at City Hall at 11:30, so I can't stay. There's other press conferences that I need to be a part of.
Tell Bill Cameron we said hi.
I will. I'll tell him you said hello.
I've never seen Cameron hold three microphones.
No, he
even on his
do
best
it.
Day.
I have been known to put down a few microphones at one time.
I know, Felicia. I know you have.
At the tone, WGN News Time, 10:56.
Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder. Rich Lankoff is one of the co-hosts of Legal Face-Off on WGN+.
Although, this just in, I'm sorry, a texter said, I just heard on Channel 5 News that Bill Leff is running for state's attorney.
I'm thinking
is
about
that
it.
True?
I'm considering that run. I'll let you know. I have an exploratory committee working on that. Hope to have something by the week's end.
All right, back to Rich Lankoff.
Rich Lankoff.
You've got my endorsement.
Progress. Thank you, Rich. That's what I was hoping. That's sure. The reason we invited you on today.
Absolutely.
So you and Jason Whiteside, of course, the hosts of Legal Face-Off, and then we have you by every once in a while to answer any legal questions, stories in the news, and today's one of those days. How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Excellent. Thanks.
Bill Cosby in the news. Bill and I had a wonderful opportunity to interview him. We went and saw his show at the Chicago Theater. We met him backstage, and then this news hits the world, and we don't know how to react. I have some autographs of him for my kids, and they asked me the other night, what do we do with it? I don't know. Let's put it in a drawer.
Probably not worth as much as it was worth like a year ago, but, you know, thank God for Bill Cosby, at least for Legal Face-Off. Lots of stuff to talk about. The news coming out of Pennsylvania yesterday was the judge basically denied Cosby's motion to throw out the case against him for two reasons. Cosby's attorneys alleged that the former prosecutor, a guy by the name of Bruce Castor, had a deal with Cosby that Castor would not prosecute Cosby criminally if Cosby would testify in the civil case that was brought against him. Cosby did, in fact, testify. That's what resulted in, you know, the current situation with Cosby. And there's a new district attorney named Kevin Steele who had no such agreement with Cosby, who is now prosecuting Bill Cosby for this alleged sexual assault. And Cosby's attorney said, well, wait a second. We had this deal with your office, regardless of which attorney made it, and you should live up to your end of the bargain. Well, the judge threw out that argument and said that the criminal case can proceed. For two reasons. The judge said that you can't make these kind of deals. You can't just because you're a celebrity, the court is not going to allow you to enter into these kind of deals. And secondly, even if you could, the judge said that there was no such deal in this case because Cosby's attorneys didn't prove that there was a deal. In other words, they didn't show that there was a written agreement.
Gotta get
That's
it in writing.
Pretty controversial. Yeah,
but non-celebrities, there have been instances where non-celebrities have done just that, where they say, I will testify in a civil trial, but not in a criminal trial under these circumstances. That's not uncommon, is
not
it?
Not totally uncommon, but, you know, think about it. I mean, if there's a crime committed, you know, you would expect that the first thing you should do as a prosecutor is seek a criminal prosecution, especially for a charge like sexual assault or rape. So, you know, most courts will not allow you to avoid criminal liability just because you're cooperating with a civil prosecution, which is for money. In this case, Castor, the former DA, said, I didn't think I had enough to successfully prosecute him criminally. So at the very least, he said, I wanted to make this woman a millionaire. I wanted to, you know, get her civil, you know, some civil relief. Well, again, the fact that it wasn't written down made the court say that it wasn't binding. Little controversial. You know, it's not totally uncommon for these things to be entered into orally. The court
don't say orally. I mean, not involving this
non case. In a non-written fashion. And the court said that, you know, there is no proof of it. Really interesting. There's a lot of subtext to this. You know, the two attorneys, the current district attorney, won on the basis of prosecuting criminal offenders like Cosby. His ads mentioned Cosby by name. The interaction between the loser in this contest, the former DA, and the winner, the current DA, was interesting on the stand. So a lot of other, you know, legal subcontext that was pretty interesting.
You know, with this whole O.J. Simpson movie on TV, The People versus O.J. Simpson, we're really reminded how celebrityism really got you off the hook. So, in my opinion, I think Bill Cosby is in a bad area right now.
Yeah, you know, I watched the first episode of The People versus O.J. Simpson. Fascinating stuff. But yeah, it does remind you of the whole, you know, celebrity culture, special treatment. One of the scenes in the O.J. movie was when they cuffed him right away when he got back to his estate, and then, you know, took off the cuffs right away, which is something normally you wouldn't do for a non-celebrity. But yeah, I think what we've learned from the O.J. case over the years, and from many cases, is that the public won't tolerate special treatment for athletes as much as maybe they did back in the 90s, the O.J. case being
the
best example.
You say the public, but a jury could easily be swayed by celebrity.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I think so. We've talked before on the show about Phil Spector, some other cases.
Robert Blake.
I think juries are a little more sophisticated than they used to be. I think they're a lot less swayed by celebrity. Thankfully, I think juries will listen to the evidence and prosecute or find someone guilty regardless of who they are.
I know one of the problems with the Bill Cosby situation is the statute of limitations having run out on pretty much all of these events. Will courts now take a closer look at the statute of limitations? It seems to me that if a guy, forget that it's Bill Cosby, but any guy has this many charges brought up against them, something's going on, and maybe the statute of limitations in a case like this shouldn't be.
Because women don't come forward right away. Yeah. Some of them.
Yeah, good question. Statute of limitations is pretty strict. You know, it's a pretty hard and fast rule that once that is told, then you don't get to go back and prosecute. So in this case, it was a 12-year statute of limitations. All of the other alleged crimes that we've heard about, the statutes have been told on those. So I don't think a prosecutor would successfully argue that they're still able to prosecute, even though the statute of limitations has run. But at least in this one in Pennsylvania, it looks like it's going to proceed.
It's too bad because there's no statute of limitations on these women's lives being ruined. This is going to go to the grave with all these women, the fact that this happened. And it looks like he's just going to be free forever.
I agree. I mean, there is some talk about expanding statute of limitations for sexual assault cases, rape, sexual abuse cases, for that reason, for the reason that Wendy said, that a lot of these victims don't come forward right away. But, that would take legislation passing in those individual states. Right now, the statute of limitations on all the crimes that he's been accused of has told, except for Pennsylvania.
When you saw the interviews with all these women, and they've been on a couple of TV shows at this point, they all keep saying the same thing. I was sure I was the only one that Bill Cosby had done this to. It wasn't until women came out and said, here's my situation, that they just came out of the woodwork.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's again speaks to the idea that it's rough that they are barred by the statute of limitations criminally in many cases, but in most states, but they have some civil redress. We've seen some civil suits going on. So, that's not as good maybe as getting him criminally, but it's something. He has certainly deep pockets. So hopefully these women will be compensated monetarily.
So just to clarify this, because I'm confused, there will be no criminal charges against him at all? Or
no,
just
they
with
are,
this one woman?
Right.
Because that is some vindication. If he is found guilty for this one case, don't you think the other women will finally say, finally?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think if he goes to jail, that'll definitely be a win for all of the victims. Certainly, they won't feel, I think, as vindicated as they would if their state's prosecuted. But yeah, in this case, the judge ruled yesterday that there's that the argument that it should be thrown out because of this alleged agreement is not valid. So the criminal case is going to proceed. There's another hearing coming up to determine whether there's enough evidence to proceed. I think there's plenty of evidence. So looks like he's going to face a criminal trial for sure.
Rich Lankoff is here, one of the co-hosts of Legal Faceoff, which can be heard on WGN Plus, and a frequent contributor to our show. If you want to join in, 312-981-7200 will get that done. It's us, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We are talking to Rich Lankoff, who is co-host of your show, which
Legal Faceoff.
Thank you. And you can find that on WGNplus.com. We were talking about Bill Cosby, and his attorneys were trying to say, let's not bring this case forward on my client because we had an agreement. The management changed in the state's attorney's office and said, we didn't have this agreement and the court may proceed with this case. Is that it in a nutshell?
Yeah. Again, there's a new state's attorney who ran on the idea of prosecuting Bill Cosby. That was the centerpiece of his campaign. And he said, I've got no such agreement, nor does this office, because it wasn't written down. It was a non-written agreement, oral. And the court sided with the prosecution and said that the criminal case against Cosby in Pennsylvania can, in fact, proceed.
From what you've seen thus far, is he getting any special treatment because he's Bill Cosby, or is the court going according to beat? Would this happen no matter who it was?
Yeah, I think so. I think, thankfully, the court is not concerned about who he is. I think the fact that they released a lot of the deposition testimony shows that.
Yeah, but more of the Tom Hartman.
So, Tom yeah,
Hartman
I think
always interferes with
I think
can we sue Tom Hartman?
I'm going to.
I actually am in the process of filing
suing
something
Tom Hartman.
Instantaneously because of that.
All right.
but yeah, I think the court is doing the right thing and proceeding as they would with any other defendant.
Can he appeal? Can his attorney
appeal? Yeah, they're actually appealing this decision, the order yesterday, but I think that will be denied. I think we'll see Bill Cosby stand trial criminally fairly soon in Pennsylvania.
Isn't that even as you say those words, my brain can't. It doesn't work. You just go that. Well, that's impossible. That's Bill Cosby you're talking about.
That's
amazing.
Cliff Huxtable. Yeah, yeah. Hard to believe.
Yep.
It is hard to believe. Another story in the news that's hard to believe is this poor Virginia girl. She was a 13-year-old girl, vanished from her bedroom, and she had just such a terrible life. She had lymphoma, which she got through. She had tracheotomy scar. She had felt a little overweight. She was bullied at school. She had some kidney issues that caused her to take medication every day. So she was looking for someone to appreciate her and not make fun of her. So she's on this app, the Kik. Is that what's called? K-I-K? Yes. She's on this, it's kind of like Instagram type thing. She meets this 18-year-old boy, and it's a Kik messaging app, and called him her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. He was 18 years old, David Eisenhower, a freshman at Virginia Tech. And she left her home sometime between midnight and 7 a.m. 13-year-old girl. I have a 13-year-old boy. You don't necessarily know they're leaving the house at midnight. You think they're okay. This girl was just looking for acceptance. This guy claimed to be, you know, I'll be your boyfriend. And he killed her. He killed her, and he is now on charges of kidnapping and murder. The prosecutor also announced that Eisenhower's classmate, Natalie Keepers, will face a more serious charge of being an accessory before the fact to first-degree murder, which, Rich, that means she could have done something to maybe prevent the killing, and she helped dispose of the body.
Yeah, I mean, horrific story. Tomorrow on Legal Face-Off, we're going to have, as our guest, the head of a watchdog group who watches over these kind of applications, and Kik is an example. I mean, I think it's, you know, very dangerous, obviously, to have these apps out there. Kik raised their Apple rating in the wake of this from 9 to 12. Still think that's
Does
a little
that
bit
matter?
I still
too
think
young.
You don't want a 12-year-old on there talking to 18-year-olds about being their boyfriend necessarily. But that's the world we live in, right? I mean, the unregulated nature of these apps are such that kids now have greater access to them. They could use them with fake names, fake ages, fake identities. Even if you are monitoring them, you know, kids know better than all of us how to get around these things. So
they have
really dangerous.
They have many accounts. I mean, there's a director of the Crimes Against Children Research Center at the University of New Hampshire, and he agreed that parental oversight is a good thing. But it's really hard to do that. The AP story says even kids whose parents closely monitor their activity on some of these sites, they have numerous accounts that they can just lie about their age. You put in a different birth date and show that you're over 12 years old. Is there any way to change this?
Yeah, I mean, I think these companies are going to have to look internally, and as you hear more stories like this terrible story, they're going to have to regulate them. And if they don't, I think you'll see, you know, just like we've seen with Airbnb, just like you've seen with Uber, these sites are no differently, right? I mean, Uber was unregulated to a large extent until, you know, cities like Chicago said, we have to step in. Now, they're still largely unregulated, but, you know, there's a tax on Uber at the airport, for example. There are certain restrictions. I think the government will look at these kind of sites more carefully.
Although, how do you do it? How do you prevent a kid from just putting a fake birth date in?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that technology is way beyond me. I think my 10-year-old knows how to navigate them a lot better than
absolutely.
I do.
But is a website off the hook? If they say, type in your birth date and you lie to them, they could say, hey, we asked them a question. They gave us an answer. We don't have a detective on it to look up everybody who's on our website.
Right, yeah. I mean, great question. The ultimate question from a legal perspective that we always, you know, talk about on Legal Face-Off is, what's the liability for a kick? Is there criminal liability? Is there civil liability? You're right. They will, they could argue in the face of a lawsuit that we're not aware of who's going on.
But then
how
they
could
have
you
to find some
aware?
Way
I mean,
to
yeah, I mean,
be
how
aware.
Could you not be aware of it? And sort of, you know, ignorance is not a defense, right? I mean, the technology is such that you know kids are going to get on there.
Sure.
We all know it. If I know it, if you know it, then certainly the people who own this app know it.
Yeah.
So if I was suing them civilly, I think I would have a pretty good case before a jury that said to say, hey, look, you knew this was going on. And if you didn't know, you should have been aware of it. And you didn't anything to stop it.
So, I mean, that's where they're going to get most of their business.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, most of these apps, the target is 10 to 18, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I think
that's a big difference. And even though the gap is only 8 years, it's a huge 8 years.
Yeah. But I mean, you've got a 13-year-old. I've got a 10-year-old. I mean, my kid is all over this stuff. She's not on Kick. I've never heard of Kick before this.
I asked Dylan.
I mean,
he said he had.
He knows of it.
Yeah, he was aware of it. He's not on it. But, I mean, that bothered me that
he's sure.
from Canada. It's a Canadian company, I believe, the app is from. No offense to Canadians. I'm just mentioning that that's where it's from. And there are so many apps out there that you just put in a different date. You know,
right.
You can get on a liquor.com by just putting, you know, I put my real birthday because I don't have to lie about it.
Right.
But
does it go that high up?
You're a jerk.
Can Wendy sue me for what I just said, Rich? Is there a chance that
again,
she
we're
sue
in
me?
The process of filing something.
Some sort of, all right.
Wendy has got like a little signal that she just made to me.
You should see the list on your charges that
that's
I'm
where Jason,
suing you for.
That's where Whiteside is. Whiteside is the other half, and he's working on these.
Because Bill
lawsuits.
Always says openly on the air, I'm going to sue you when I say something rude to him. I'm not saying that on the air. You should see the list.
That's
it's
fine.
Like a phone book. That's
right.
How big it is.
That's all right.
So watch your kids as best you can, but really there's no way to protect them. But really, you know, don't meet strangers. Does it go back to that? Don't talk to strangers. We could now add, don't go meet strangers.
Don't leave your house by climbing out the window and go, you know, to another state to meet strangers.
It's
I guess
more involved than it used to be.
Yeah.
It is.
It's scary. I mean, it's scary stuff that we all have to be aware of for sure.
WGNplus.com is where you can find Legal Face Off with our favorite part of the show, Rich Lakoff.
Jason second. Tell him he came in second. That's not bad. It's still in the money.
We like you, Jason.
Still up in the running.
That's fine. You play ping pong, I heard, too.
A little bit. Not as good as
Not
as good as some of my other friends, but I hold my own a little
bit. Bill
just
brought this up because Bill beat Rich Lankoff and wanted you to say
I
yes.
Not only
I
beat me, embarrassed me.
I don't remember.
As did our friend Brian Watercott. But yeah, I'm sort of in
you
the middle tier.
You played against Brian Watercott, the guy that you were driving in the morning one day and saw some crazy erratic behavior, and you looked over because you were going to flip them off, and it was Brian Watercott.
He brings that same crazy erratic behavior to the ping pong
table.
Do
I want to know what that crazy behavior was?
No. No, you don't. Nope.
Probably.
It's in my phone book list. Yes. I got something against him, too.
Rich, thank you for being here, and thank you for all you do. It's
thank
Rich Lankoff. We'll
appreciate
take a quick
it.
Break and then give you some news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks so much, Kim. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. We are trying our best to get in contact with Dean Richards to talk film and show business and entertainment with you. Do we know if we have Dean or not? Dean, are you there?
Hello.
You're not Dean. Wendy. I'm not falling for that again.
We might have to get him on the phone.
All right.
Anna Balaval has probably...
Is she behind this? Is this the work of blah, 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 blah?
Can I just tell you, I live for you to say that.
That's fun to say. That is fun to say.
She might have sabotaged the whole
I wouldn't put
thing.
It past her. I would not put it past her. You know what I wanted to talk about with him, and you and I can talk about it. I don't know if you have as strong a feeling about this as I do, but I found out yesterday on the way home that Bob Elliott had died. He is half of Bob and Ray.
I heard that this morning on the Steve Cochran show when he was talking to Dean, when he made it to Dean's or to Steve's
when he was
show.
On with Steve. Bob and Ray, for my money, that was one of the best comedy duos of all time. Insanely funny, just really, really perfect in everything they did. Ray Goulding died quite a while ago, but Bob Elliott just passed away yesterday at the age of 92. not only leaving a comedy legacy behind him, but he's the father of Chris Elliott, who was a writer on David Letterman's show and then was on SNL.
What was his Get a Life?
He was the boy under the stairs. Oh, yeah. He was the star of Get a Life.
I loved that show on Fox.
And played for, I want to say both seasons, played Chris Elliott's dad. He was his dad in real life, but played his dad on the sitcom.
Yes, and then Abby Elliott is Chris's daughter.
Yeah, Chris's daughter, Bob Elliott's granddaughter.
And Dean Richards is Dean Richards.
Yes, he is. All true.
Who was responsible for your mic mishap?
Oh.
Was Which it, mic mishap was that?
Was it that you weren't here? Was it Annabella? How do you
Did
say
Did Annabella steal your microphone so you couldn't talk to us, Dean?
You're talking about Annabella Vall.
That's how you say it. I'm sorry.
Say it again, Bill.
Am I saying it wrong?
No.
I think I'm saying it right.
Not if you're racist, you're not.
I'm not.
Oh, stop
I am
it.
Not
she
in
just
any way
says
way.
It so quickly.
She says it too fast.
Annabella Vall.
Try it, Bill. Blah, 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 blah.
Perfect. I've seen sparks come out of her mouth, Dean, when she says her name. That shouldn't happen.
That's the funniest thing. Bill took his funny pills today.
Dean, we were just talking about Bob Elliott. My guess is, because you're such a fan of radio and of comedy, that he might have meant something to you as well. That was one of the giants, Bob Elliott, wasn't it?
Grew up, watching him. I wish, that I had been from a generation beforehand so I could have, experienced, the true heyday.
The 50s. They were at their peak probably in the 50s, right?
Yeah, right. They started in local radio.
Boston?
Much like you guys, really. Yeah. And then went on to national radio. So you guys could become national treasures.
We could be the next Bob and Ray.
There's still hope for
I just want to be
Bob
like
and Ray, Bill and Wendy. And
that's what I'm striving to be like. You mentioned on the Cochrane Show today that as a lot of people were idolized David Bowie, who was the...
Judd Apatow.
Yes.
Judd Apatow said that...
Freaks and Geeks and everything else.
Bob Elliott is his David Bowie, that Bob and Ray were his David Bowie.
That's cool.
That's how much he respected them. Leaving this legacy of comedy in general, but, his son, Chris Elliott, his granddaughter, Chris Elliott's daughter, who went on to work on SNL.
Abby Elliott.
For several years.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, I never had the opportunity to meet them, but. Everyone, just said that they were great guys. I imagine that they were just like, would be like Bob Newhart.
Sure.
Just because their style was, so low-key, so not, hitting you over the head with the sledgehammer, but just like subtle, witty, very dry.
Deadpan so much of the time.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Dean, on either the first or second season of Saturday Night Live, on an off week, there was a special that they did called Bob and Ray, Jane, Lorraine, and Gilda were the three cast members, the three female cast members of Saturday Night Live, did a show where it was all Bob and Ray bits, but then they played the secondary characters. Do you remember that weekend at all?
I don't.
Really fun to watch.
Yeah, I'll bet. Those are cool things. And, these kinds of comedians don't exist anymore. That style, doesn't exist anymore. So it's cool to remember. It was 92.
Yep.
Something like that. I don't want to, say that, it certainly is sad, but he lived a long and productive life. And I know I'm going to smile anytime I think about these guys. So I think that's a, a nice tribute to anybody.
And how old was he?
92. Yeah,
see,
full life.
Hopefully we live that long.
I'm on board for that. I would love that.
I'm planning on being here every single frickin' Thursday until I'm 92.
1 year for Christmas, some company
Dean Richards Movie Report, sponsored by Depend Undergarments.
1 year for Christmas.
Depends are worth money.
She'll be saying her name like that then because her false teeth will come out.
All right, a quick break. More with Dean. We'll find out what movies are coming out this weekend. Stay where you are. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean
Richards is here to talk about movies. Dean, before we talk about this week's movie, there's been a lot of problem in Hollywood with the Academy Awards and the lack of diversity in the nominees. It was in the paper.
I was not told this.
Dean, it was in the paper. It was on page 18 of the paper.
I usually skip page 18.
I'm kidding. What newspaper has 18 pages anymore?
Wait, before you get to your question, we have an emergency phone call we have to take. Who is this on the celebrity hotline?
Ana Mirabal.
Oh, no. I'm in trouble.
It's Ana Balaval. That's how you say it, Bill. You're
Hola.
Deep crap.
Say it, Ana.
Can you say it again for me? How do I pronounce this correctly?
It's three syllables, Bill.
Ana.
Five.
Well, Balaval.
Balalala.
Listen, just call me Ana Falafel. It's the same thing.
I love you Ana Balaval.
No, I love you too. I listen. I'm about to take that probiotic thing.
Healthy Trinity. Ana Balaval uses it.
Not yet, but you're telling me on things. I tell Dean constantly. I love these guys. Yep. I'm like a 65-year-old listener now.
Until about 10 minutes ago, she told me how much she loved you.
And now what do I get?
I'm trying my best. I can't say it right.
Wait,
I don't know why.
Ana, will you do an impression of Bill doing your name? It's like a turkey.
I know. Every time I say it, pheasants come to the window. It's the weirdest thing.
Bill, those are rats. Those are rats on Michigan Avenue.
I have a father who weeps every time you do that.
See, so stop it.
But weeps out of joy, right? He's happy.
Stop.
Oh, no?
Here's the thing. I don't understand. You guys want me to say Anna Valable?
No.
Yeah,
no.
I would like to hear that one morning.
I do.
Me and Dean are in.
I hear that every time I go to the South Side. God bless them.
Ana Balaval.
That's
Ana Balaval. You know the Hispanic girl.
All right. That's the one. All right. I will try harder. I'm sorry.
Try it one more time.
Ana Balaval.
He did it.
It's easy. If you say it, if
he's
say
choking
slow.
On his own tongue, for God's sakes. Somebody help him.
Somebody get him a spoon.
Thank you, Ana.
Thank you, Ana Balaval.
I love you both.
Love you back.
All right. During that break, she sent me a text that said, tell Leffy's dead to me.
I don't want that. Nobody wants that.
I love her. Be nicer to her.
I will be nicer to her.
You're just jealous because you're just Bill Leff.
I know.
You need more vowels.
She's got all kinds of vowels
it's
and consonants.
Three syllables in her last name.
I know.
It's not that hard.
But she says it, Dean. You know, you hear it. She says it so rapid fire, so fast. I can't say it that fast. It's too hard.
Yes, you can.
I want to. I'm going to try to. I really am. All right, let's talk about this week. It's the
was
new
that
Comb-
the, was that the diversity segment?
No, there was something I wanted to ask, but I'll ask you next. No, but it worked out nicely.
That was our diversity segment,
right?
Anyone was wondering
to make amends with the Academy Awards.
Somebody right marked the moment down. We had one Hispanic person
right.
on WGN,
right.
And I will pile on because we got a texter when we were talking about the OJ movie and the over the top acting that I saw, and a listener said, you know, they miscast OJ. Evidently, Joseph Fiennes was unavailable.
No, if you wouldn't mind, I'll save my diversity question for next week because I have one and it's a good one. But let's get to this week's movie. It's a Coen Brothers movie.
Are you excited? Are you guys Coen Brothers fans?
I am.
Love
big
them.
Time.
Love them.
Me too. And I think you're going to like this movie, Hail Caesar. It's
looks great. The trailers look great.
Yeah. The overall the little bits and pieces of this movie are better than the movie itself, which is not to say that I didn't like the movie. There are just some fantastic moments. When you come out of the movie, you're going to love this part of the movie or love that part of the movie or this character or that character. There are so many rich individual pieces that I'm not sure like really congeal into the greatest story in the world or the greatest sum total. But the Coen brothers are just such masters of delivering interesting, quirky, dimensional, funny, clever, nuanced humor. And they deliver it over and over and over again in this movie. That is, it's a movie about making a movie about movies.
Oh.
I mean, that'll give you an idea of like kind of the mindset of the Coen brothers with this. George Clooney is a 1950s... spoiled brat movie star. He's making a movie that's called Hail Caesar. The really interesting character in this movie is Josh Brolin,
mm-hmm.
who plays a Hollywood fixer. And it's based, a Hollywood fixer is the guy who would go around and, you know, when stars got in trouble, when they wound up drunk someplace, where they were someplace where they were not supposed to be, you know, they were in charge of the images of the stars that were under the studio system at that time. And Josh Brolin is, you know, kind of, he is the fixer based on a real life guy. He's kind of an amalgamation of several different people in the real Hollywood system, trying to just, you know, corral his stars who are constantly getting in trouble, out of wedlock pregnancies, you know, things like that. But in what you get out of this is this hilarious spoiled brat star played by George Clooney, very funny. You get a Scarlett Johansson, who is, you know, kind of an Esther Williams-like character and does her scenes in the water, that water ballet that Esther Williams was so famous for. You've got little bit parts from guys like Jonah Hill. There's a new actor, fairly new and young actor, who in many ways steals this whole movie. His name is Alden Ehrenreich, remember his name? Because we're going to be... People need more vowels in their names.
Yes, it's a serious problem today. A
serious vowel shortage in Hollywood.
Yep.
He's a young actor who plays... he's kind of a singing cowboy, and they put him into a different kind of role, and to see him in sort of this romantic, this, you know, singing cowboy who is really only good at being a singing cowboy, seeing him trying to do something else is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Highlight of the movie for me, though, is Channing Tatum.
Really?
Who does a 7-minute, like, Gene Kelly, Fred Astaire-like song and dance number, tap dancing, singing, dancing, jumping from table to table, did it all himself.
Wow.
Didn't have anybody... You know, like a stand-in dancer or anything. He did it all himself, which is amazing. So, you know, there are little bits and pieces of this movie that I just absolutely loved. It would have been nice if the story had came together, but I didn't care because I'm such a big Coen Brothers fan.
Yeah.
I love here, you know, and I've been talking about this with people the last few days of, you know, why I like the Coen Brothers, why I don't particularly like Quentin Tarantino.
Mm-hmm.
Tarantino does one kind of movie. Think about the different kinds of movies that the Coen Brothers have given us.
Sure.
All over the board.
Serious, funny, weird.
Musical. Yeah.
They're up for an Oscar this year for writing that straightaway drama with Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg, Bridge of Spies. They were the screenwriters of that. These guys can do everything, and they do it so well. So I'm a huge fan of them, and I like this movie very much. I'm giving it a B+.
Not bad.
Even though it's not a perfect movie, I was that entertained by the whole thing, so I liked that.
There is a movie that I saw a trailer for that I told Bill it's not really up my alley, but it looks really good. Deadpool looks so good to me.
I'm going to see that tonight.
Awesome.
That opens next week, you know, a week from tomorrow, so I'll be able to tell you more about that with Ryan.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is in that one. This week, I didn't get to see them because I was out of town most of the week, but there is Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that looks good, too.
That's opening today, so you're on your own with that one, but I'm pretty sure that it's Pride and Prejudice with Zombies.
It is.
Pretty sure you don't need any movie critics.
Guest starring Annabelle Laval.
She's in it. She's got a small part in there.
Too.
Dean, thank you. Again, Dean giving Hail Caesar, the Coen Brothers comedy, a B+. Not bad. Have a great weekend, Dean.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hail, Dean.
A quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN. Kim, thanks. Hi, it's us. It's Bill and Wendy, part two of our show, the Thursday edition of Bill and Wendy. We're at 312-981-7200. You want to join in?
God, you are quick to jump in. You don't even let the music establish.
Let's enjoy a second or two of the music.
Just trying to get my headphones on.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Kim, it's not the news person's role. It's nobody's role. When you're reporting the news, the last thing you want to do is call somebody in one of your news stories a jerk. But this guy, Martin Scorsese...
is a jerk.
That guy's a jerk. This is the guy who he's jacking up the prices an insane amount on drugs used to keep people alive, and now he's in court over this, and he's just laughing his way through it. He's just smirking and laughing his way through it. Can we play a little bit? They played this early this morning. Steve Grzanich played this during Steve Cochran's show, but this is him being admonished for for just taking this whole thing very, very lightly. Listen to some of this audio. You got it, Kevin?
And this is the judge?
No, this isn't the judge. This is, Kevin, do you remember who this is? Is this Elijah Cummings from Maryland who's admonishing Martin Scorsese? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think it's Representative
Cummings, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's not funny, Mr. Scorsese. People are dying, and they're getting sicker and sicker.
Martin Scorsese refused to testify on Thursday before a congressional committee investigating drug price hikes. He cited his Fifth Amendment right, which is everybody's right, against self-incrimination over and over again as members sought to ask about his company's dramatic increase of the price of its medication of more than 5,500%. Now, you could see a situation where somebody would take advantage, but this isn't even taking advantage. This is people who can't afford the medication they need to be alive. He's profiting off of this and thinks the whole thing is very, very amusing.
How could he be that? I can't even think of the word.
It's
cruel.
It's beyond cruel.
Uncaring.
It's beyond cruel. And, you know, when we first talked about this a couple months ago, it was in November or December, I think, that this came to light. I had said at the time, I understand that it's the American way, that the way that supply and demand works and the way that anyone has ever gotten rich off of almost anything is figuring out what the public wants or needs, creating it, and then charging what should be a fair price for it. I mean, that's the way people get rich, is you figure out what would everybody want? What could people buy that I could provide for them? So this is a guy who bought a pharmaceutical company and just took the price of a drug, Daraprim, from $750 per pill. It started out at $13.50 per pill, and
which
that's
still
expensive.
For one pill.
That's expensive.
You can get a 30 or 60 day prescription on a generic med for $5.
Yeah.
This is one pill. So even that's hideously expensive.
It is. And then he raised it to over $750 per pill, which will price you out of the market. You can't afford it, so when you don't afford it, you die. So I'm glad he's following the American dream of figuring out what the public needs, and he didn't. He bought into it, but that's just as cruel can be. And now he's sitting there as they're all trying to figure out exactly what to do with him, and he's loving it.
And his defense lawyer, did you mention his defense lawyer, Benjamin Braffman, told reporters that, quote, Mr. how do you say it?
I think they say Scorsese. That's the way I keep hearing it, although it's spelled differently.
Okay. This is what his attorney said. Mr. Scorsese did not intend to show any disrespect and said his client's fidgeting and facial mugging, quote, was nervous energy.
Exactly. That's what it was.
That's a great defense attorney. Can I tell you that?
Right. I think we should keep him on retainer for any future lawsuits that might come our way. That's what it is. He was just nervous. He was fidgeting. He wasn't laughing.
Scorsese then seemed to undercut his lawyer when he tweeted after the hearing. Here's what the tweet said. Hard to accept that these imbeciles represent the people in our government.
Oh.
What a jerkwad.
Isn't he? Like Hall of Fame caliber. Just the mere act of doing this with the drugs, of lifting the price up on the drugs. And I know you could come to a guy, like, honestly, this is a very rich man, Martin Scorsese. He's got tons and tons of money. If somebody came to you and said, look, I understand you want to benefit off of this. You want to make a profit. I get that.
It's the American way.
That's what we're all trying to do, is figure out how we can make a nice profit. But it's at the cost of people's lives. People are dying. They can't afford the medicine that you're providing. Could you do something? And remember, at first, he had put out a statement where there was going to be a price adjustment, and there was, of like a couple dollars a pill or something like that. Nothing that would make even the smallest dent. But he said, I'm doing everything I can to make this affordable.
That's him showing his arrogance then.
Right.
That's even a bigger
burn. Right.
Oh, yeah, I'll reduce it $2 a pill.
Right. Are you happy? I met you halfway. I met you part way.
Listener Kevin wants in on this. 312-981-7200. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Once again, always great show. What I wanted to play on was, Bill's statement of, if it wasn't something that was, over the top, then what this gentleman did, and he's a term loosely, 4,000%.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
I mean, I know, you WGN radio employees want, 1,000% when you guys go to your contract talks. But
hey, can you represent me, Kevin?
That's what we asked for.
Yeah. I know, but I just want to, when you started, Bill, I'm like, yeah, I can't remember the exact word that you used as a term, but, you know, this is not something that anybody is trying to do something good for the benefit of others. This
right.
It's just an unreasonable request, and 4,000%, I don't know if I've ever heard that in any type of business at all.
Well, they say in this, I'm reading from CNBC's website, they said, and I don't have a calculator in front of me, but they said it's more than 5,500%, regardless of what it is. The dollar amount went from $13.50 per pill to over $750 per pill. And he has to know that's going to end. That will end people. They can't afford that kind of money for a pill.
Yeah. For whatever his defenses are, I don't know what they are. But I'm glad they found something else to pursue him on, and maybe he'll have a little bit of look in the mirror of maybe this wasn't right.
Maybe. I would love to see that.
You guys are the best.
Thanks, Kevin.
I don't see him coming to that realization anytime.
He doesn't seem big on that sort of thing.
No,
does he?
He's not going to change his character all of a sudden overnight.
Right. And, you know, I've heard people over the years say, well, how could a pill cost that much? And then pharmaceutical companies talk about the years and years of research and development for any pill. But a pill that costs $750.
And how much does insurance cover that if you are lucky enough to have insurance?
I don't know.
Because that is a question to brought up, too.
I don't know. Well, that's why we're all paying so much in medical insurance is because of stuff. I mean, you can slice it any way you want. It's pharmaceutical companies realizing they've got you.
And this is what is crazy, too, is we learned, we learned nothing about patent and things because I think we confused copyright and trademark.
Right.
But I do know that just by getting ADHD meds every month, that once a company loses that patent, it is available in generic form, and it is way cheaper than that.
Right.
So there are ways to cut the costs of medicine.
If there's a generic equivalent.
Right.
A lot of drugs don't have that yet.
Frank has something to say as well. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Wendy.
Hi.
We have to also consider that prior to this con artist purchasing the company, the pill was going for $17 a pill, but to manufacture that pill, it was probably less than $10 a pill. So now that he has this company, he's making a lot more than the markup, because we were doing the formula at $17 a pill. It doesn't cost $17 a pill. It costs considerably less.
Right.
Right. That's true.
Sure, of course.
So he's probably making $8,000-$9,000 profit, or 8 or 9,000% profit, I should say.
It's whatever it is, it's criminal. When people's lives are on the line over this.
So what's going to happen to him? Is he going to go to jail over this?
That's what people are trying to figure out now.
I don't know if there's any laws preventing somebody from marking up as much as they want. As long as the insurance companies are paying for this, then there has to be some new laws regulating how much pharmaceutical companies can make.
Right. He might go to jail, but not for this. I mean, he's charged, but
for something else.
Yeah, but it's an unrelated situation.
What about the law of being a nice human being?
That law's
off the
books.
Caring for your fellow people.
They don't have that law anymore. They stopped.
Well, thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
I'm looking at pictures of him. He looks like Brick from The Middle. He's just sitting up on the stand, and he looks like Brick from The Middle.
Well, that's why he's trying to get back at everybody.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We've got a lot coming up, including Gilbert Gottfried coming by in a little while. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. You said front row like the Jetsons dog.
Front row.
Like Astro would have said.
Well, it says first row
in the
copy. And to me, see them from the first row does not sound right to me.
No, I get it. I'm with you. Down, Set, Eat, Brittany and Elliot are taking your game day experience to the next level. It's Chicago's best football fair, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Martin Scorelli, is that his name?
That is his name.
He testified before Congress, and he was flippant. Would that be accurate?
I think you could call him flippant. You did call him flippant, and I agree with you. He was just that.
How about a flippant jerk?
Yes. I keep going. There's more.
You know, seriously, though, a jerk is like a perfect word for him.
Yeah, he just has this attitude, and he's got anybody who needs this drug right where he wants them, because there's no alternative. If you need this drug to survive, you have to pay whatever the price is that is dictated by the company, and he's decided that that price should be over $750 per pill. How can you afford to maintain that? It's impossible.
And I'm sorry, but just the way you disrespect the judicial system when you're sitting there, he smirked repeatedly, twiddled his pencil,
yeah.
and he looked away as Representative Elijah Cummings from Maryland tried to get him to use his influence on the company he founded, Turing Pharmaceuticals, to lower his price. And why do you do that? When you're in trouble, and was it a court of law or just wherever it was, don't you show respect?
I would think if I were him, I would do my best to show some sort of remorse and to just say,
even
I'm
if
in
you're
business,
not going to change it, yeah, but just show respect.
Right.
I just don't understand it anymore. Corey, what's wrong with people?
I don't know. Why are they making money off of people being sick? I don't understand that.
Well, I'm not, believe me, well, Corey, hold on 1 second. I'm not going to defend pharmaceutical companies, but like I said before, the capitalism system works on figuring out what you can provide to make a profit on. I get that, but this is an obscene amount of money for people who will die if they don't get what they need.
Well, right, and I kind of think it's the same thing with, okay, what if you had to have fire insurance? Oh, you have insurance? Well, no, we can't come put out the fire. Or police insurance. Somebody's burgling your house. Well, do you have police insurance? No. Well, we can't come. You know, it's the same thing to me. I don't understand the difference. When they started designing the society in America, they should have been lumped in with that. Everybody has health care. Everybody has police care. Everybody has fire care.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It makes me mad that they make money off of people being sick, whereas people can't help being sick.
Yeah, there's no way to argue with that. That's the way it should be.
That's why I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders.
Well, he does. I mean, his plan sounds good of making that right, but many people have said it's one of those things that seems a little too dreamy to be true. I would love for that to be the way it was.
And Corey, hey, vote for whoever you want. I mean, I think that's a good thing. There's a big debate tonight with Hillary and Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
And I think it's more important than ever to watch because there was, in the Iowa caucuses, pretty darn close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't get over her voice. Isn't that terrible?
So you, even though you like the most of her policy, her voice would make you maybe not vote for her?
No, I can't say that because I know my voice sounds like that sometimes too when I'm mad.
But I voted for you.
For class president?
Yep.
I would always vote for you.
Yep.
Despite all of this stuff.
It's unnerving. I feel bad.
Well,
I don't dislike her, but I can't, her voice.
Bill, you say it. We'll watch you get pummeled.
I know. I sound like that. I know when women are trying to make a point and they go like this, they sound like that. And I know in my husband's ear, I sound worse than Hillary.
How about if you vote for her and then on the ballot you put, this vote only counts if you just keep it down a little bit. No yelling.
Simmer down.
Just write down that you want to be part of her silent majority.
Right. Put that.
That would not be a lie.
Put that on there.
All right, Mark wants to clear some things up. You are a pharmacist, sir?
I am. I'm actually an independent business owner, and I own several pharmacies. But this is not unusual to put an outrageous price on a commercial drug. Drug companies do it all the time. There's some diabetic drugs and asthma drugs that are coming out on the market that are going to make this one look dirt cheap.
Really?
Absolutely. And one of the reasons they stick these monster price tags on it is because the consumer is typically not the person who's paying for it. It's the insurance company, it's Medicare, it's Medicaid.
But yeah, that's true. But honestly, Mark, when that happens, I know you're saying the insurance company is the one who pays for it, but then we all pay for it because then all of our insurance rates go up.
Well, there's a caveat on that, too. When you have more than one product that comes to the market or Me Too products that come in the market, the insurance companies then go to the manufacturer and said, we're only going to pay for your product if you give us this kind of a kickback.
How about that?
Yes. So I had to explain this to a patient yesterday why their medication wasn't covered. If the drug company refuses to give the insurance company a kickback, the insurance company is then not going to cover it in many cases. And that's one of the reasons that compounded medications, which are things that are made from scratch at compounding pharmacies, are typically not covered at all because the insurance company has no one to go to for a kickback. So these claims benefits managers are not able to make their extra bucks and get their extra profits for the company because they don't have that outlet for additional source of revenue. So what you say is true. What you say is true is that we all are paying for this, but the insurance companies and the drug companies are really in cahoots on this, and they know what's going on.
And that's not hidden at all? They don't do anything to hide that? That's just common practice?
I didn't know it.
No, it's, well, it's pretty
I'm joining the Tea Party. I am taking the government down. But you hear these things like me and my two boys have ADHD, and you call the insurance company after your pharmacy says Focalin is not Focalin is covered for ADHD, but Concerta isn't. And I said, what about the generic version of Concerta? And they said, no, it's considered non-formulary. And I go, what does that even mean? The insurance company couldn't tell me that. And
Well, no, they can tell you. They won't tell you.
Well, that's where I know, and they're the same medications, the same active ingredient, just different inactive ingredients, and the reason Concerta and Focalin, I'm even going back and forth, is because different side effects for the different inactive ingredients. So how can one be covered and one not?
Well, many times the same active ingredient, it comes back to the kickback versus the company.
Oh, my God, that gets me. What? I mean, we're screwed.
It's terrible.
You summarized it quite well.
That's terrible. And there's other drugs you had mentioned, Mark, that there's other drugs that you said would even make this look like a bargain, kind of. This is $750 a pill. What have you seen that's more than that? Are there other drugs that you can name or think of that are more than that?
There's a couple of new drugs that are coming on the market for asthma and diabetes, which, of course, are both monster markets in North America. Excuse me. And the associations which protect patients in both instances went back to the manufacturers and said, look, these $84,000 to $120,000 a year are ridiculous. Now, here's the really ridiculous part. In order to make these drugs viable, these organizations told the drug companies they need to bring them down between $50,000 and $60,000 a year.
I really cannot believe this. Honestly, it sounds so. A $750 pill, your insurance would cover a good portion of that, where it's not coming out of the person's pocket.
Well, it may, but where a person does not have insurance, it's not at all unusual for a drug company to say, "We will give you a drug scholarship for a cent, essentially, where instead of it costing you $7,000 a month, it's going to cost you $5,000 a month or $2,000 a month." Or we'll cover it completely for the first 6 months.
And then you're on your own. And anywhere you go
then you apply for another scholarship.
But even that bargain price is still, you're talking about $50,000 or $60,000 a year if you're lucky enough to get that bargain basement price.
I don't consider that a bargain price, by the way.
No, I know. I was kidding.
Right.
But,
okay.
Wow, is that crazy? That's just...
How do you afford your mortgage and your food and clothing? That's crazy, Mark.
That's not their concern, unfortunately.
You've brought me down. You've brought me down for the rest of the day. Well, I hope Gilbert Gottfried can bring me up.
I hope so, too. But let me bring you back up. There are compound... And here's... I'll put in my plug. They're compounding pharmacists.
Oh,
we can make many products for patients that are very affordable, whether it's pain management, bioidentical hormones, Meniere syndrome, which is a ring in the ear, and dizziness, or any number of other things that are a fraction of the price of the commercial products. And it's not because we're cheating. It's not because we're doing anything inappropriate. It's because we're making things the right way and following alternatives that are certainly working.
Compound pharmacies, that's what this is called?
Well, can I give the name of my business?
I don't care.
Go ahead.
I own Mark Drugs in Roselle and Deerfield.
Okay.
And also the PDI Medical Marijuana Dispensary in Buffalo Grove. And many of these products that are available to consumers are a fraction of the price of some of these very expensive medications, and very, very beneficial and very useful.
Mark Drugs, do you have a website?
MarkDrugs.com. Thank you. I bless you both.
Well, I mean, you know what? I don't know anything about your pharmacy, but listeners, do your homework and check it out. And if it can save you money, cool for you. And Mark, thanks for calling.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me there.
Absolutely. All right, let's do this. We're
a little
late for
news. I got to
get
his number in case I need a script, he could be my Elvis doctor.
What a privilege that would be for him.
To help you sing or what?
A quick break, news, and then our friend Gilbert Gottfried joins us in studio. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN, and I really hope you didn't use up all of Gilbert Gottfried.
Before he got on the air with us. Olive Gilbert Gottfried. Gilbert is here. He's performing at Zany's tonight in St. Charles tomorrow night, and then Rosemont on Saturday night, Zany's.com, and then GilbertGottfried.com. Hi.
You used all of me up.
I would never do that to you.
Yeah,
and then
you
he
did.
Spit you out.
I would never do that to you.
You used all of me up, and
that's
there's
not
nothing
me.
Left of
Gilbert,
me.
Gilbert, that's not me.
Yeah.
Can
you
shut
me up?
There's a guy running for president. It was in the paper. Donald Trump is his name.
Yes.
And you worked with Donald Trump on The Celebrity Apprentice.
See, people don't see both sides of Trump like I did. They see him firing me, but they don't see that afterwards he brought me into his office and we lied together on his couch and just cuddled.
That you
for
cuddled
an hour.
With Donald Trump?
Yeah.
See a good people, cuddler?
Yeah, people don't see that side of him.
Would he make a good president? Because everybody thought this was a joke, but now it's not a joke anymore.
It's the weirdest thing because when it first started, I thought it was going to be like one of those things like, you know, Gary Coleman for president,
right.
Or Roseanne Barr.
But in all sincerity, Gary Coleman was a pretty good president, wasn't he? People forget.
Yes.
He was one of our finest presidents.
Yes, he was a great
right.
president.
Yes, history proves that. So you knew
him. And when he was dealing with other countries, heads of other countries, he'd go, what you talking about?
What you talking about, Russia? That was his famous line.
What you talking about, Putin?
History will remember his presidency fondly. So what do you know about him that the American public does not know about Donald Trump?
I want him to be president just so to see if I could have my own little room at the White House because we did Celebrity Apprentice.
What would you be in charge of if he doled out a like chief of staff?
Jews. I'd be in charge of Jews.
Great.
Anything.
Secretary of Jews.
Secretary of Jews. Yes.
I don't think they've had that cabinet position, but you'd be great.
Yeah, I think it's about time.
Now, no one's making mention of the fact that Bernie Sanders, also one
also
of your front runners,
Jew.
Also a Jew. That would be our first Jewish president, but that never seems to come up.
No, he should become president just for that.
I didn't know he was Jewish.
Yeah.
I mean, we had, pardon the expression, a Schwarzenegger.
I don't know what is. I'm a Gentile. I'm a Christian. I don't get this Jewish humor.
I don't understand it. I don't get it at all.
Bill, you have to signal me.
I don't
if this
understand
is something
it.
That
no,
should not go out over the air.
Everybody's fine.
Yeah, and I'd make sure there were more Jews in comedy, because boy, there's certainly a lack of
there's
them.
Why is that?
Yeah,
you think more people would gravitate?
Yeah,
to that.
Jews in comedy and television writers who are Jews.
Right.
It's so hard to find.
And rabbis. You don't see any Jewish rabbis anymore.
No Jewish lawyers.
Could you get the Christians into this
yes,
now,
we
please?
Need to involve every
I
race,
feel left
every
out.
Religion. Absolutely.
I want to cuddle with Donald Trump now and get hair in my mouth.
Yes.
But really, the way this election, and we're still almost...
Oh, well, first let me bring a Christian in.
Right.
So how much do you hate the Jews?
Oh, no.
Bill,
oh, no.
Help me.
Oh, no.
You're half Jewish and half Christian,
I know.
So help
I'm
me.
Torn. I'm torn. I don't know what to do at this point.
Who's calling you? A Jewish or a person or a Christian?
Yeah.
I don't know. But the way this election has already, and we still have 10 months to go, but the way it's played out, this is a dream for anyone in the world of comedy, isn't it? It
could be guess
stranger.
So if I did political stuff.
You really don't,
no.
do you?
No.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I hear politics and I put the earmuffs on.
Yeah.
You're never going to change anyone's mind.
Yeah, and I never went further in politics and the way most people who do political comedy, it's like old jokes
right.
with the politicians
right.
thrown. Like, yeah. like there'll always be dumb jokes.
Yeah.
So it used to be Dan Quayle, and then it was Bush.
You find a guy that seems a little lacking, and then you just zero
yeah.
in on that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's too easy.
Or they'll do something like, or if there's a sex scandal, you know, just sex jokes.
Right, right. But you're above that. You don't need that.
I'm above that.
Gilbert's above
boy,
that.
Boy, you know, when you say Gilbert Gottfried, you go, boy, intelligent,
right,
thoughtful, right, comedy.
Right.
That's, yeah.
Non-political.
That's what you get.
Stuff that you got to think about.
The Mark Twain of our generation,
yes,
I've heard people
yes
say. Or maybe Shania Twain of our generation, but
yes,
somewhere Shania Twain of our generation. Gilbert is performing at Zanies. You got the Zanies Chicago tonight, St. Charles tomorrow night, Rosemont on Saturday night. Go to zanies.com. Go to gilbertgottfried.com. When we come back, I want to talk about your podcast because you have interviewed some of the greats, and we
yes
want to talk about that.
The Amazing yes Colossal Podcast?
The Amazing Colossal Podcast
on gilbertgottfried.com.
Yep, we'll discuss that next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Gilbert Gottfried is here, actor, writer, comedian. He's been called the Laura Ingalls Wilder of our generation. He's at Zanies in Chicago tonight. He's in Zanies St. Charles tomorrow night and then Rosemont on Saturday night. Let's talk about this podcast, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. How did this come to be?
Well, let's see. Well, wait, before I go to the podcast, so you don't know who's a Jew?
Oh,
or
God,
who's got artificial breasts.
Right.
Wendy, there's three groups of people you can never tell.
And Bill,
one
you've
them
known me over 20 years.
Right.
I cannot tell if someone is Jewish.
Right.
By name or look.
Yeah.
I really can't.
Yeah.
I can't tell who has had breast augmentation.
Right.
And I cannot tell who is gay.
Yeah. How about that?
I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't care. It's just I can't
some
tell.
Some breast augmentation you could spot from a helicopter.
True.
It's like so bad.
You could
done
land on it if you jumped
yeah
out of the helicopter.
Yeah.
I still can't tell. Dolly Parton, are they real or fake?
What?
Dolly Parton. Real
Dolly Parton, I think she's had work. Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't I heard they were
great
real.
You yeah heard they were real? Wouldn't this be a great game show, though, to have contestants and celebrities
if,
would
if
decide?
They were, if they're real and they're scraping against the floor right now,
then you need to get them fixed.
Do you remember you told me years ago you had a thing with National Lampoon magazine where you would do a page or two of National Lampoon, and they always put you with women without
oh, the
their shirts
photo
on.
Funnies.
The photo funnies.
Yes. Yeah, and I used to wind up writing those, and after a while, I wound up submitting the same script like four times in a row, because I didn't care. I just wanted to be there with the naked girls all day.
Isn't that where you just go, life is good, this is my
yeah
job, I come
yeah
in and there's naked women everywhere. That's not a bad thing. On the podcast, on Amazing Colossal Podcast.
And subscribe on iTunes.
On
yeah
iTunes, they have your podcast. You have decided to go after the people who have influenced you in your life. Name a couple names. Who
oh
did you talk
God
to?
Well, we just, oh, we had two members from F Troop.
Did you? Who'd
Larry
you from?
Storch.
Really?
And Ken Berry.
Really?
Just recently I interviewed Dick Van Dyke.
Ugh.
Let's see. There were a bunch of
them. Do you know who, you mentioned Larry Storch. Do you know who I interviewed who told me that he was best friends with Larry Storch and it didn't
yeah
make any sense, but it's true? Tony Curtis was best friends with Larry Storch.
Yes, yes. He talked about it on the show. He said, he was friends with Tony Curtis and I think they were in the Navy
yeah
together. And he advised, when Tony Curtis said he was going to be an actor, he advised him not to.
Larry Storch did?
Yeah, because he didn't think Tony Curtis had a career as a movie star.
Right.
And then when Tony Curtis became a movie star, he started hiring Larry Storch to do little bit parts in his movies. And he said, he was also friends, longtime friends with Buddy Hackett.
Oh, really?
And Larry Storch said to Buddy Hackett, you know, I'm thinking of taking, going to acting school. And Buddy Hackett said, go on your acting school. It's like trying to learn how to drive in a garage.
Best Buddy Hackett ever.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And
that's
my beautiful. My favorite Buddy Hackett is, do you remember that TV movie Button Lou?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes.
With Harvey Korman.
Harvey Korman
he
as
played
Abbott.
Bud Abbott.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And the last scene, I hope I'm not spoiling it for
just
anyone.
Just say spoiler alert and you're good.
Yes.
All right.
Spoiler alert to all of you who who just dialed up.
Right, right.
Button Lou.
Because okay. Rentals are going to go through the roof now that you've mentioned it.
Yes.
You know that.
So, Artie Johnson shows up as their manager,
right?
Eddie.
Yeah.
And he smuggles in under his jacket a cup, like a paper cup, with a strawberry malted
right.
in it. And he gives it to Buddy Hackett, who's as Lou Costello in his hospital bed.
Yeah.
And he weakly takes one little sip, and he goes, you know, I had a lot of strawberry malted in my day, but this one's the best. And then he dies.
Oh, no.
Which I'm sure is exactly the way it happened.
I bet it happened that way. All your great comics, that's how they go out, yes. Having a strawberry malted. So sad.
Who picks strawberry?
I don't know.
I could see chocolate, vanilla, but who goes strawberry for their last
cake? This was during the war.
It makes a big difference. There was a shortage.
It was so different.
Of chocolate and vanilla.
Gilbert, your kids now, can I ask this? I've always wondered about this. You've done some Disney films. You've done the voices for some key Disney films. Does this excite you when your daughter or your son gets to see the Disney movies and you're doing the voice of the Disney characters? Is that a...
For a while they were watching Aladdin every day, and then I became the one of the parents that goes, turn that crap off.
But that must be such a huge thing.
Oh,
though,
yeah.
To go, my dad's doing that voice in a Disney movie.
I remember years ago, I said to my daughter, somehow a Popeye cartoon came up on TV.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I used to watch that when I was a kid. And she said, were you in it?
Sure.
Were you in Button Lou?
Oh, but my son at like 5, he said to me the thing I'm most proud of.
What did he say?
He said, I swear to God, he said, Daddy, tell me a joke that's inappropriate for children.
And that's your boy.
Yeah. That's
Can you tell
boy.
Us that joke on the air?
Yeah.
No.
Family walks into a town.
Okay.
We had Roger Corman.
Did you? The filmmaker Roger Corman.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that like? For people who don't know, Roger Corman is the king of the B-movies. He's made incredible B-movies over the years.
And he's the one who gave work to, like, Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
And another guy gave work to who was on the program was Bruce Dern.
Did you have Bruce Dern on?
Yeah, Bruce Dern was great.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you book this yourself? You call and say, hey, you want to be on the podcast?
Yeah. Originally, I was going to call it the Before It's Too Late show. But I thought it's kind of hard getting guests on when you say, could you do my podcast? Because I think you'll be dead within the week. You know?
I'm looking at your charts.
Yeah.
You got a book kid by March.
I've become the Grim Reaper, though. Whenever I pencil someone down, they die.
Believe us. We know what that's like.
Yeah, it's happened to us recently.
Oh, yeah?
Who did you kill?
Oh, okay. I killed Jack Carter.
You killed Jack Carter?
Yes.
Oh, Gilbert.
Yeah. But that, which reminds me of another.
What is
Buddy Hackett?
Tell me another Buddy Hackett.
Buddy Hackett, he was at Milton Berle's funeral.
Yeah.
And he was talking to Nancy Sinatra, and he said, I only hope we could meet next time under happier circumstances, like Jack Carter's funeral.
He took a little swipe at Jack Carter.
Yes,
you gotta love that.
Yes. This is Gilbert Gottfried's Hack Attack. I hope you're enjoying it. You mentioned your kids. My 16-year-old son loves you and recorded a message for you. Can you listen to this?
Okay.
Hello, Gilbert. This is Gilbert. I am just letting you know that if you ever need a stunt double or someone to fill in for your voice, my rates are reasonable. Reasonable as in, I take payment in chicken.
There you have it. So if you need a fill-in, if you get laryngitis, 16 years old, he loves you.
Well, if that imitator who's doing the duck right now.
The new Affleck guy?
Yeah.
Why didn't they get Ben Affleck to play the Affleck duck? Wouldn't that have made sense?
They should have.
It's insane. Gilbert, it's always so much fun to see you. Go see Gilbert Gottfried. Zany's in Chicago tonight.
Why should I see
you? No, you will see
you. The audience.
They set up a mirror. You can watch the show.
Zany's
in St. Charles tomorrow night. Zany's in Rosemont on Saturday night. The entire show done. Of course, his Buddy Hackett. A tribute to Buddy Hackett. You can't go wrong. Go to zanies.com, go to gilbertgottfried.com, and by all means, listen to Gilbert's podcast. It's Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast.
It's free and it's explicit.
Yeah, very explicit.
Yes, it's very explicit. and my Twitter account is at Real Gilbert.
At Real Gilbert.
Twitter's very expensive hobby for me.
Oh, yes. I can imagine. All right, more after this. Thank you, Gilbert. The news is coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I got to tell you, I haven't thought of Buddy Hackett in a long time.
Yeah, but now you are thinking of Buddy Hackett.
I can't stop thinking of Buddy Hackett. That was the best Buddy. It's actually the only Buddy Hackett impression I've ever heard.
Gilbert Gottfried does an incredible Buddy Hackett, and the key to doing Buddy Hackett is you have to move your mouth all the way to the side when you do the voice. It has to be like by the upper part of your cheek.
How did he do that?
I don't know how or why he did that. I'm not sure.
And he was always like that? It wasn't some injury or something?
No, always. And there was a story. I've heard this story from three different people. I always wondered when Buddy Hackett was on The Tonight Show, because he made Johnny Carson laugh harder than anybody. And I always wondered why sometimes Buddy Hackett would start to tell a story. He would only say the very first few words and people in the audience would laugh hysterically. And I never understood why. And I guess during breaks, he would tell the audience of The Tonight Show the dirtiest jokes that they had ever heard. But he always had a clean version of the joke in the back of his head. So he would tell the dirty version during the commercial and then they'd go live and he'd say to Johnny, "Did I ever tell you about the newsboy who went downtown?" And the crowd would go nuts. Because they thought, uh-oh, he's going to tell the dirty version on The Tonight Show. But he didn't.
Yeah, but what a great way to get a laugh when the cameras are rolling.
Yeah.
You should try that when you go out in front of news cameras that are out in front of the Tribune Tower.
Who would be stupid enough to do that?
You, and it was very funny. And if you missed it, you can check out our podcast at WGNradio.com. That happened about 11:30 today?
At the beginning of the show. Somewhere in the beginning of the show.
I can't remember. Although I saw those same news people who you are now friends with on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking, they were filming Anita Alvarez, who was out there.
Right.
And there was no one around. And I really very easily could have gotten in the shot right behind her.
Oh, right.
And I started thinking a sticker kid.
You don't need that aggravation.
I know, but it took everything in my being to stop myself from doing that.
Really? Do you want to be the sticker girl?
You don't want to be
No, that's what made me ultimately stop. But I thought for a second it was really like, oh, my God, I could get in that shot in 1 second.
Well, I know you've seen this on any local or sometimes national news where they're reporting on something just horrendous. And there's somebody in the background doing a dance or wearing a cone hat or something.
They say something now. This is all over YouTube.
I know they do.
And I'm telling you, cameramen, be ready with mace. Because that would make a good shot, too, if you're macing someone.
Right.
But what has happened to this world? It's too accessible. Social media is everywhere.
Yeah.
Cameras, videotapes. It's too easy to mess up shots now.
Right. When I was in grade school, a friend of mine, Joe Leonard, I won't say his name on the air, but so you know, Joe Leonard, there was some local college basketball game that was getting national attention, and I don't remember why. I want to say it was the Loyola Ramblers, but one of our teams went on to reach national prominence, and Joe found himself at the game, and while in the post game they were interviewing the star of the game, Joe stood between them and just kept, like, every time they'd ask a question, Joe would nod and act as though he were about to answer the question. And because of that, he was like a celebrity in our town. He could go into a restaurant and they're like, you eat for free, Mr. Leonard. No charge to you.
And this was before you could watch it over and over again.
Right. 'Cause
if you didn't happen to be videotaping,
right,
it's not like you could call it up on YouTube.
No, it was just the people who happened to see it saw it. It was like, did you have kids in your school that were on Bozo Circus? And those kids were
I came from a poor neighborhood.
Oh, you didn't get any Bozo tickets.
I never went to Bozo, and I didn't know anyone that did till I met you.
You came from a poor neighborhood, you couldn't afford to wait?
Right.
Yes.
7-year wait. 7 years. But like kids who are on our school, like on days where St. Damien kids were on Bozo Circus, and I don't mean as guest stars. I just meant they were one of the class of thousands or whatever they call them. Our classes would stop and we would all watch Bozo Circus to see if we could get a glimpse of them during, you know, the
You
grand
went
prize.
To the most progressive Catholic school I have ever heard of in my life.
Probably.
You got to watch Bozo Circus when it turns out everyone at the school at one time was in the cast of thousands at Bozo.
Are you sure you didn't go to an Episcopalian school?
No, it was St. Damien. It was Catholic.
Okay, so you all get to watch Bozo during school time.
If somebody was on, yeah.
You got, your mom would set you up with White Castles and you would bring them in and the teachers would heat them up for you.
In the teacher's lounge, right. That's true, too.
You touched each other.
Well, as part of a game, as part of the crisscross applesauce game, there was some touching. You know, it was all sanctioned. It was
this
fine.
This does not sound like any Catholic school I've heard of where you can't smile, you can't have fun, you're supposed to learn a lot.
No, in retrospect, it was a pretty pleasant 8 years. It was a lot of good things happened there.
It's not supposed to be the case.
I know. Are you sure it wasn't one of those multi-denominational churches?
No. I was the only one. Myself and Neil Gould, who was also half Jewish, we were the only, and my brother and his brother, we were the only kids of other denominations that were in St. Damien.
Someone keeps correcting me every time I say you're half Jewish. They say you can't be half Jewish. Will you explain to them you can?
My mom was Catholic. My dad is Jewish. So
what
I know
does that,
that
make you?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, that's a half and half split, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although people who are extremely religious say you are whatever your mother was. So.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know.
Do you practice either of them?
No.
Then I wouldn't say either.
I don't. Yeah.
There is, speaking of parents, there is a rule that I heard in the news and I found this story. It's, I think, going on in London.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to bring this up because if it becomes a law here, a lot of us are going to be arrested.
Oh, no. Can you say can we take a break and you tell us what it is?
Yes, I will.
I don't want to be arrested. All right. We'll come back with this and other things if you want to jump in. Easy to do, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
The pajama game is the game I'm in, and I'm proud to be in the pajama game. I love it.
It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. You can call in or text in at 312-981-7200.
Do you say pajama or pajama?
I'm normally pajama, but I've heard it pronounced both ways. Depends on your intensity level.
Dave Hennett says pajama.
Does he?
I can't say that.
He's very upper crust, isn't he?
He is. There's a new law that is going on. This happened about a week ago. There is a primary school head teacher. This is in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
This teacher, Kate Chisholm, has written to parents requesting that they take time to get dressed in the morning and stop dropping the kids off in their pajamas in the morning. The head teacher at Skern Park Academy in Darlington made the appeal after she noticed an increase in the number of parents wearing nightwear to the school gates, with some even wearing pajamas to school assemblies and meetings.
Oh.
In the letter, she said, and I'm quoting, "I have noticed there has been an increasing tendency for parents to escort children to and from school while still wearing their pajamas, and on occasion, even slippers. Could I please ask then, when you are escorting your children, you take the time to dress appropriately in daywear that is suitable for the weather conditions?"
Sure.
She said her aim was to help set a good example for the kids and said that so far she had received a positive response. She said, "We're trying to raise standards and get better outcomes for the children. And we noticed a lot of the parents are turning up to school as well as meetings and assemblies wearing pajamas. If we're to raise standards, it's not too much to ask parents to have a wash."
Right.
Get
that's
dressed.
What they say in England, you know.
Take a shower.
Have a wash. Yeah, they'll just say that.
"I've had loads of support from the community," says this teacher, "and people saying it's about time something was done. I've had far more positive responses than negative. If I get the parents on board, then we often get the children too. And in order to get the best chances for the children, we have to raise the bar with the parents."
Right. All right. So just so I understand, if you're dropping your kids off at school, but you're staying in your car, it's okay to wear pajamas
they
or
don't
a robe or
that.
Slippers. But if you're taking them to what they call the front gate or something like that.
If you're
like
walking
that,
your kids to school.
Then they ask that you dress in clothing.
They
and
don't
not
have a right to do that.
That's tough.
I mean, I don't know. For one thing, if you look at any kids in school these days, everybody wears pajama bottoms.
I have to say,
I know.
At you know, at Reese's school when she was going to Dayton, there that was common. A kid would wear some or maybe a full ensemble of pajamas to class, and that was like a novelty. Nobody really said or did anything about it.
But you look around and they sell them everywhere. They're just like lounge pants or whatever, yeah. And kids are wearing them to school.
Yeah.
The favorite present I bought everybody in my family, which I was going to buy for you and Kevin until you were rude to me, Blackhawks, they are plaid pajama bottoms.
You should still get us those, I think. I think you should still get them for us. I'd wear
them. I'll get them for Kevin. I'm not getting them for you. But I just this morning, I dropped Michael off at school wearing those pajama bottoms and a hoodie, and I didn't get out of my car.
Right.
I certainly wouldn't. I did have slippers on.
Oh,
I had my Uggs on, but kids wear Uggs in public, too.
What if there was a situation, though, where you needed to have come in with him for
some
reason?
Yeah, I wouldn't have worn
them. Then you
wouldn't
have worn them, right?
No, but it depends, you know? It's just dropping your kids off at school. And I see moms, we live across from an elementary school. I'm having difficulty talking.
Just leave out the big words. You don't need the big words.
We live very near an elementary school, and every morning I see the moms, you know, that have a baby at home. They're pushing the stroller, and they're not all dressed to kill when they're walking their kid to school. Who cares?
Boy, that's tough. I guess if the school's trying to establish themselves in a certain way, they got to have some kind of a dress code. But
this
I don't
is
know,
the
should,
parents.
Yeah, maybe it shouldn't apply to the parents.
They're lucky the parents are even walking the kids to school.
Right.
Who walked you to school? I never got walked to school.
I never got walked to school.
Why did I walk my kids to school? That was dumb of me.
Well, it depends on the distance, you know.
Yeah, but
I live two blocks away from my school.
So your mom didn't walk you?
No.
See, that's when you do walk your kid to school, when you're right across the street or something. I'm a pushover.
Yeah, I guess.
Ben?
How you guys doing? I just find that, you know, I'm with you guys. I mean, if there's a mother at home with a baby and she has other obligations and whatnot, you know, who
or
cares
a dad.
What she wears?
Although
dad, I should say, I apologize. You're right. But I can kind of understand where they're coming from when it comes to certain assemblies or like school concerts or other occasions. I don't think anybody should be dressed, you know, in pajamas or whatever for that.
I have never seen at any of the elementary school assemblies, I have never seen another parent in pajamas. But I see them walking their kids to school all the time in pajamas.
Right.
I mean, the only thing I could see is if it's something. If it's really they find it that problematic, and plus, you know, the people in the UK, they're more uppity than us Americans, you know. But,
that's true.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's just a stereotype that we've created, because that doesn't seem to be a huge problem here in the United States, but in England, for some reason, it is.
Yeah. I mean, and plus, I mean, I don't know.
Are you saying they're slobs over there?
Mm-mm. No.
Is this a private school or a public school? I don't know.
Does it say?
It does not say at
doesn't
this
say?
Point.
I mean, if it's a private school, then they can.
Well, they can
do whatever
they want.
You know.
But don't you see parents dropping their kids off in pajamas all the time? Because I certainly do.
Yeah, I see it all the time. I just don't. Yeah, I just think there's bigger problems to worry about than the attire of the parents.
Right.
That would warrant taxpayer money, I'm assuming, to send out a letter to. come on. You know, I mean, it's just like, why don't you worry about educating the children first rather than what the parents are wearing? That's my opinion.
True.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks,
we
Ben.
Appreciate that, Ben.
When I would drive Reese and Kylie to grade school, it was usually Terry, but I would do it some of the time. And I remember you could see, because you'd be in those like carpool lanes or those drop-off lanes where it's you're just sitting there for a little while. I could see in other people's cars that some of the women, and maybe a dad or two, I don't remember the dads, though. I remember the women. You could see like a fluffy kind of a robe top, you know, that like fur-lined like robe top. You know what I mean?
I have one of those.
Steve will wear one. You know what I mean, Steve.
Who has a fur-lined robe?
The women in the lane there, in the fur-lined robe lane.
The
that
lady
I would be
folk, I can
yeah,
see that.
Yeah, some of... You know,
fur?
Yeah, it's like it looks like rabbit fur or something, and
that's
it's just kind of
coat.
No, it's a robe.
No, there's robe like
Who
that too.
Who has a robe like that besides Phyllis Diller,
Queen of England?
The Queen of England and Phyllis Diller were at our school. Their kids went to school with my daughters.
Good students,
very excellent students.
They really were
excellent students. Jimmy Diller was a great student.
He could sing. Remember at the assembly?
And Kyle, Queen of England, also
listen,
a great student.
And what if, like, on mornings that Michael has to be at school at 6:50 sometimes, 4 days a week for Madrigal practice.
Yeah, yeah.
I take him in my jammies every day. Because I'm not dressed yet at 6:50.
All right.
If I'm on my way to work when he goes at his normal time, then I will be dressed and ready to roll.
So these pajamas that you wear are what sort of pajamas? What are you wearing?
I don't even have pajamas. I have the Blackhawks. They're red plaid with a little Blackhawks emblem right on my upper left hip.
Careful. All right. All right.
And then I wear a hoodie and slippers.
Sure.
And Uggs, too. That's everybody wears. Look at the kids at school.
Yeah.
Tell the kids not to wear the pajama bottoms and
right.
the Uggs.
We already
Who
went
cares?
To school. It's not on our heads. It's on their heads, right? All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll discuss this and other topics if you want to jump in. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Sometimes I eat a banana while wearing pajamas, dropping my kids off at school. What is the big deal?
What's the big deal? Who does that hurt?
Head teachers in at Skern Park Academy in Darlington in the UK are asking parents to dress appropriately in daywear that is suitable for the weather conditions when they drop their kids off at school. It's not stressing in a car.
Right.
But if they walk their kids to school, if you're a mom in pajamas eating a banana, you are in big trouble.
I do love that all British people say banana. There's not a single British person who says banana. It's always banana, and I like that.
Can I tell you something before I head to the text and the phone calls?
Yeah.
I am admitting that if my kid has to go to school early, I will have my pajama bottoms on with a hoodie and slippers, but I'm not getting out of the car.
Right.
I certainly wouldn't go to any school assembly or parent-teacher conference like that.
Of course.
And if people are texting me and calling me white trash and saying, boy, are you lazy and can't get out of your pajamas.
Yeah.
Then there are a bunch of liars out there because I am seeing a bunch of other moms in the same attire.
How about that?
So that's all I'm saying.
Those are all inter-office memos I'm seeing, by the way, saying that about you. I don't know who'd say that.
All right, Dan, you agree with the rule, huh?
I do. I'm sorry. Maybe it's an international thing because I am from, you know, Hispanic descent. My parents are, came from Mexico, and they always told us it's not acceptable to go out in your pajamas, and I treat my kids the same way. I don't let them go to school in pajamas.
Nor do I.
I don't go drop them. What's that?
Nor do I. But this is the parents wearing jammies when they're dropping them off at school.
Exactly. So if I expect that out of my children, I expect that out of myself, I will not be a hypocrite and go to places in any sort of pajama attire. At most, I'm like, there was a time in this country when we would, you know, go out in basically suits and ties and dress up nicely.
Yeah, I miss those days.
Yeah, that's an extreme, but look, I'm like, I'm sorry. It just looks lazy. It doesn't look trashy. It just looks lazy. And I'm sorry, but when I do, I see that out of parents, I can't help but cringe a little. I'm like, come on. You got to be able at least to throw on some jeans and a hoodie. That's enough for me. I mean, the standards aren't that high. It's just, you know, do something just enough so that your kids, you know, see you put the effort that you expect them to put the effort in the morning.
But, Dan, men's pajamas are cut to look like little business suits. There's little pockets and there's little trim and cuffs and stuff like that. So I think there's a market for that.
Maybe, my pajamas are a little more casual. You know, you got your basketball shorts and an old T-shirt.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that and not wanting to be a hypocrite. And this isn't about your kid. I mean, the kids don't go to school in pajamas, although it does seem like I'm
Some
seeing
do.
That more frequently.
Right.
I just, if you have two kids going to two different schools and you're trying to get ready for work and one's supposed to be there early.
There's a time crunch.
I'm sorry. I'm not ready to put my, you know, business casual on.
Right.
My Hawks jersey.
I would wear my nicer pajamas, like my fire engine ones. I would never wear my ducky ones outside. But the nicer ones I would wear.
All right. Anna, on to you.
Hi.
Hi.
I first of all, I have to say I love you guys.
Oh,
so
thank you.
Don't take any offense to this.
That's all right.
I totally agree with the gentleman before me. I mean, what do you expect of your kids if you can't do the same thing?
Sure.
You know, yeah. I mean, when my daughter went to college, I said, if you ever go to class in your pajamas, I will kill you.
Wow.
Because I said, it's just so disrespectful.
Yeah.
And Wendy, I understand what you're saying. You're not getting out of the car, but I totally agree with the guy before that. What does it take to throw out a pair of jeans and some sneakers?
15, 20 seconds at the most.
Yeah, but I'm not ready to get dressed for the day yet.
Well, I don't have to be ready to get dressed for the day.
It's temporary dress for the day.
What about workout pants? Can I wear those?
Oh, God, I hate that even worse.
See, so what? I have to put a skirt on to take the kids to school in the car.
No.
Yes.
And high heels.
A poodle skirt.
No. 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 No poodle skirt, please. I'm talking about jeans and sneakers. But, you know, when I go to the grocery store and I see these people walking in their pajama bottoms and people with their baggy sweatpants on, it's like, ew.
I will not let my kids even wear sweatpants to school. It's and you know why? Because George Costanza.
Right.
You can't wear sweatpants in public because it makes you look like you're not ready to take on the day.
Yep, so true.
Well, see, and exactly, you dress for the job.
All right. Well,
has Anna changed your mind at all? No, not at all.
But I appreciate what you're saying, and that's what makes this crazy world go around, is everyone's entitled to their opinion, correct?
Right.
Thank you, Anna. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Anna.
Not only is this texter calling me white trash, but they're saying, oh, so there's a bunch of white trash at your kid's school, too.
But the name of the school is White Trash Elementary,
yeah.
so people
know.
So
what do you expect?
That's what you're going to get.
No one is admitting that they take that. I'm sorry. I think you're all a bunch of liars.
That's impossible.
Liz, go ahead. I'll let you talk, and then I have to say, because if I'm the only one wearing pajamas to drop my kids off at school,
yeah,
I'm seeing other people in other cars. I do not get out of the car. My kids are wearing presentable clothes. I'm just dropping them off at school. Go ahead, Liz.
Hi. I think the biggest issue isn't that you're wearing them, but aren't you the gal that said that you do send your son to school in pajama bottoms and hoodies?
No. I said you look around. You look around and you see it seems like that's the style these days. No, I will not. My kids get dressed for school.
Well, let me tell you a very quick story of when my daughter, who's extremely successful, locked me out of the car because I had on a pair of sweatpants that had a big hole in the back of them.
Oh,
and
my God.
I wasn't getting out of the car, but then I ran out of gas, and she looked at me and went, and she was in seventh grade and went, oh, my God, how could you have done this to me? And locked me out of the car.
Purposely.
Purposely. Oh, yeah. She locked the car while I was filling the tank up.
No wonder she's so successful now, Liz.
She's a quick thinker.
Yes. Oh, yes, but you know what? We teach by example, and we wonder why when they're 10 months old and they use a swear word when they drop something, and it's because they heard us say it. We really, really want to teach by example, and don't I sound like somebody who's dying to be a grandmother because she's waiting for her daughter to have a baby now because she's learned the hard way.
Yeah.
We really want to throw on a decent pair of pants and a top because you never know when something's going to happen to that car, and we got to get out, and we look awful.
So
we want to look a little bit better than that just because one of these days something's going to happen to that car and we don't want everyone looking. And unfortunately, women are the worst critics and we don't want anyone saying, oh, look at Sally's mama.
Wearing her Victoria's Secret nightwear to school. That's impossible.
Well, congrats on the soon-to-be grandmahood.
No, that's not happening. She's holding her womb hostage.
Wow.
She is successful.
5 years, very successful, and married 5 years, so I've got a puppy instead, and I think that'll motivate her because I'm spoiling him rotten.
Don't swear in front of him.
But just dress a little nicer because you don't want to end up like me with a big hole in your pants that you split and then standing out there trying to pump gas and just having her look at you and go, that's what you get for embarrassing me.
Can I just ask why you're wearing a pair of sweats with a hole in the butt?
Well, because I was doing housework, and it was like, oh, my God, I'm late picking her up. Who's going to see it?
Yeah.
And then the light came on, and I said, oh, man, I better stop or we're going to be walking home.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, thank you for your opinion. I appreciate it. Make sure your gas tank's full.
Were you able to spot any hidden subtext in Liz's call at all? Any?
I'm confused.
Yeah, right.
Why?
I think she just wants to be a grandmother. That's all I think she wants.
Barbara, will you back me up?
You know, I don't understand this. I presume you're not wearing your lacy negligee and pinwash.
No, of course not.
You know, I mean, I have pajamas. They're called lounge pants. Mm.
That's what they are. They're Blackhawks lounge pants.
They're baggy. Yeah.
And plaid, I mean, and with a hoodie.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and they don't have holes in them. And I have something on my feet that if something happened to the car, I could get out and walk. And mm-hmm. I have a coat. You know, I used to load kids in the car and drive my husband to the train at 5 o'clock in the morning. Hello, you think I'm going to get dressed? And the woman is waiting to be a grandmother. It's the best thing in the world.
Oh, so we just lost her.
Yeah,
but hang in there. Barbara, thank you so much. I can't be the only one doing it.
I don't think so.
Out there, and yet I'm white trash. I'm white trash for other reasons.
Right. Let's go through those reasons when we come back. Hang on. If you're on hold, we'll get to your calls at 312-981-7200. Trying to determine whether or not parents should have a dress code when dropping their kids off at school. Is that a little too much for you? Give us a call back after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, there's a head teacher in Darlington in the UK who is asking parents to dress appropriately, not in pajamas, when they drop their kids off at school. They are not saying in cars.
Right.
I just said, thankfully, this rule isn't here or I'd be arrested.
Yes.
Because sometimes I drop the kids off in pajamas.
Yeah.
It's not every day. And my pajamas don't look like pajamas.
What do they look like?
It's just like...
it's like casual wear.
Lounge pants, I guess
lounge
the listener
pants.
Called them.
Right, lounge pants.
They're plaid Blackhawks pajama bottoms, men's pajama bottoms.
Sure.
With a hoodie.
Yeah.
So if I, you know, had to get...
You look like the Unabomber, I bet. I bet they think the Unabomber's dropping their kids off at their school. That would be bad.
Somebody says, nothing wrong with this at all. I do it all the time, and I don't wear a bra either. I don't either.
Is that from a woman listener or a male listener?
A male.
Okay.
Sometimes you are just dropping the kids off, and you're going home to get the other kid ready, make lunches,
mm-hmm.
and get yourself ready.
Mm-hmm.
Sue, there are a lot of liars out here.
You know what? Amen to that, Wendy, and shame on you, Bill, excuse me.
Because why?
You didn't do anything this
time.
What did
I do?
You know what? I don't have children of my own, but I have friends and family members, and I have, you know, nieces and nephews. And again, you're in your lounge pants outfit.
Yeah.
And, you know, God forbid, I mean, you wouldn't want an accident to happen or something, but if it happened, you don't have holes all over the place. There's nothing wrong with that, Bill. Shame on you.
I don't think Bill said it was wrong.
I didn't say that.
This is the one time he's not going against me.
I will accept the shame, but I didn't say that.
I apologize.
That's all right.
I apologize. I take it back. But no, Wendy, you know, I have no problem with that. Like I said, I don't have children of my own, but I have friends of mine and family members. And, you know, you're not going out in some little negligee. You're going out in lounge.
Maybe people wouldn't complain if we did that.
Try that tomorrow and see what happens.
Thank you, Sue. Really appreciate it.
People would remember that.
I'm just saying, it's like going out. I know I don't go to Walgreens. I won't run in and to 7-Eleven like that.
Have you ever even one time done that?
No,
even
I don't.
Once?
No, because I feel funny going out in like. I don't allow street clothes in my bed, and I don't like bed clothes in the street.
Right.
Just when I'm running
in
the car to drop them off at school.
When I was a little kid, we used to go to during the summer. We would go to the drive-in every Sunday night. My mom, my dad, my brother, and I. And now, keep in mind, I was a little kid. We would go between movies into the concession stand, but I was already dressed in my pajamas. And I felt both weird about it, because everybody else was wearing clothes, but I was wearing pajamas. But at the same time, it felt really cool to be outside wearing your pajamas for some weird reason.
It's acceptable for kids.
Right.
And I don't think you should send your kids to school in pajamas, but maybe that's all they have. I don't know.
Maybe.
Now I'm just wish-washy. Karen, what do you think?
So, first off, I love you guys. I love listening to you.
Thanks, Karen.
I have to tell you, I was having a really, really bad day. And I had to take my daughter to school, and I was in pajama bottoms, just like the fleece ones, the little checkered ones, and a hoodie, and my hair up in a pony. And as I dropped her off, she was all stressed out about having to serve mass that morning by herself for the first time. And so she begged me to come to church with her, and I didn't want to do it. But I was having a bad day. She didn't want her to have a bad day, so I went into Mass, and I was a little upset all through Mass. And after Mass, a woman came up to me and offered me her coat because she thought I was homeless.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yes. Yes. My daughter was mortified. She's like, don't ever do it again. Don't ever come to church while I'm serving Mass. She was devastated.
Okay. But see, this is what happens. We can't win for losing sometimes being a parent. And I'm not just going to say a mom. Because look, you were doing a good thing for your daughter, Karen, and then she's horrified.
Yes. Absolutely. And the woman was sweet, but she just wanted to give me her coat and give me some money. She's like, I have another coat in the car. It's okay. You can take this one. I was just, it just topped off the day. And then my daughter stood there and she was mortified that this woman thought that I was homeless.
Do you still wear fleece sweatpants when you drop your daughter off at school?
I do, but I do not get out of the car ever.
All right. Bless you, my child. That's a good one. And I think we have time for one more, taking both sides of the issue here. Margaret?
Well, hi. That woman's example was perfect for what I'm about to say. When we were raised, we were taught that, and we weren't rich by any means, but it was always, you're treated by the way you act, the way you dress, the mm-hmm. way you look, and to be clean, at least to have some decent clothing on, doesn't have to be expensive, but to look, because people are going to treat you the way you come across,
sure.
the way you speak. And I think that's the way we want to raise our children and grandchildren, because they're gonna learn by our example. And, you know, even though what you're wearing in the car, you may not get out of the car, the children know that if you're wearing pajama bottoms, they know they're pajamas. Pajamas are worn in bed or in the house. And, you know, again, we want to, like some of your previous callers said, you know, children learn at a very young age by how we act, how we behave, and how we dress. And you know, we do want to at least come across to our children, you know, this is the way we would like to kind of show respect for each other, whether we're in the house or outside, but especially outside. So, you know, I think it's important that we do that for the sake of our children. And I think that just helps the behavior in our society in general.
Do it for the kids, Wendy.
Thank you, Margaret.
Do it for the kids.
Feel like the world's worst mother.
Come on, there must be someone worse than you.
I'm sorry, says 847. I have never left the house without being dressed in proper clothes.
No.
It says cloths.
Oh.
So, wow, well. I could be sexy. I know the day I decide to drop off a kid in other than street clothes is the day my car will break down or I drive off the road. I do take the dog out in the winter with my jammy tucked into my jeans with a coat over that. But once the cold weather is over, I usually throw on yesterday's shirt from work. But at least it doesn't look like pajamas.
Right. It's better than pajamas, I guess.
Do what you want.
Mm-hmm. Will this change your behavior in any way? I don't think it will. Why should
it? I just wanted to hear what other people thought.
Right. And they had a lot of different opinions, and it will not change your mind.
Good. I'm going to start wearing suits to work.
You should absolutely wear suits to work.
I want to be like Hillary Clinton.
That'll work.
Pantsuit day.
Yep. Let's start with that tomorrow. A quick break. We'll
Do you
see
have
what,
a pantsuit?
Yeah, I'm wearing a pantsuit now. I got a nice pantsuit on. Thank you, Chicos, for providing me with my pantsuit. It's Phil and Wendy, WGN.